6 past the hour on Air America Radio, and this is Morning Sedition.
Today, President Bush's premature repatriation. Don't worry, it happens to lots of guys. Plus, the liberal agenda, the presidential palm pilot, and we'll tell you how Fahrenheit 9/11 did at the box office right now. I'm joined by Mark Riley.
Good morning.
And we've got some news about our partner, Sue Ellicott. She's going to be a reporter out in the field talking to you guys in the real world. She'll be in the battleground states this fall when the campaign is in full swing. She's going to be reporting for us and also for the rest of the network. She gets to do what she likes to do best, which is be a reporter. And we get to start acting like a real network with an actual correspondent we can send to news events. And she'll have her first reports on the air in a week or so. So that's what's going on with Sue. She's going to be a reporter.
All
She's
right.
going to be out in the world doing the big work while we're here getting up early.
Yeah, right.
She wrote us a little email that said, guess what, fellas? I get to wake up late now.
Yeah, right.
And so that's what's going on with Sue, you guys. And what else is going on in the world? The handover happened, surprisingly, and in my head, it's in an effort to undermine the publicity of Fahrenheit 9/11.
Exactly.
The Coalition Provisional Authority has handed Iraq over to Iraq's interim government and puppet president 2 days early. All the rich Americans in the suits are leaving. All the poor Americans in uniforms are staying. This is extremely conditional sovereignty. Begins today.
Begin 2 hours ago?
Four hours ago. And we're going to cover that a little more. How was the weekend, buddy?
It was great. Yeah. I had a great weekend.
Yeah, you went to Connecticut?
I went up to Connecticut. Well, first of all, I went to my daughter Vivica's recital, which was wonderful.
That's so
good.
How old is she?
Seven.
She's seven, and she's doing piano recitals. I didn't start playing guitar till 11, and as I said last week, man, music is the best gift you can give a kid.
Absolutely. I agree. And after this, especially, I got to hand her some flowers when she was done. It was wonderful.
Aww.
Then we went up to Connecticut.
Yeah.
A friend of mine and I, and we went to what's called Champions on Parade. It's a drum and bugle corps show. But it was really just a chance to see a whole lot of old buds.
Yeah.
Old friends.
The
yeah.
old dangerous friends.
The old dangerous.
The old devils.
The old crazed friends.
Yeah.
You know? All of them were like, when are you coming back up here, man? When are you coming back up to hang out, man? We can drink beer.
Come on back to the dark side.
That's right. And they know who they are, even if they're not listening this morning.
They're devils. They're not awake.
Yeah. Well, you know, it was weird because I got home about 15 minutes before I normally get up. So it was a good time was had by all.
Yeah.
Well, how about you, man? You didn't take your wife to the. You didn't take her to the airport, did you?
Wait a minute, man. I mean, you got a car. You keep telling me to take my wife to the airport, but I live in Queens. The airport's 5 minutes away. I call a car. I put her in it. She goes. What do I got to get in the car with her?
Yes.
Go to the airport.
Yes.
Extend the painful goodbye process and then drive back alone just to make sure I know I'm alone.
Brilliant.
This way, I put her in the car. I have my feelings. You know, she has her feelings. I go to the gym and I avoid them.
Oh, okay.
I go right to the gym and avoid my feelings and start working out. But we had a great 10 days. You know, I'm sad that she's leaving. It's very hard to live like this. But on Friday night, we went to Peter Luger's. I'd never been to Peter Luger's.
Oh, wow.
Before, Brooklyn, the big steakhouse.
Yeah, the big steakhouse.
Where you just like they give you a huge steak and they have butter that you dip. It's like it's cooked in butter or something. They're just like a little pool of grease.
Yeah.
On the plate that you dip it in. It was really good, you know, but it was a little much.
And you need a drill to kind of get through it, right? Because it's real thick.
Yeah, oh, yeah, yeah. No, it was really good. And I listened to the new Beastie Boys album over and over again. And
so did I!
PJ Harvey. PJ Harvey album, genius. Beastie Boys.
I haven't heard it.
Great Beastie Boys.
Now, I'm a fan of PJ Harvey. I may not look like one, but I'm a fan of PJ Harvey. I'm a fan of Annie DeFranco. I have
eclectic music.
PJ Harvey summons the spirit of the blues and plows it through in the modern way. She's great, man. It's like almost, it's sometimes she gets so raw it makes me cry.
Really?
And I went and saw Fahrenheit 9/11. I saw the first showing in New York. Not that that makes a difference. It's just that, like, by the time we get off work at 9 or 10 o'clock, so I'm like, let's go. You know, and it was actually the first one that saw it, like, 11:30 on Friday.
We'll get to that later because it broke records.
Yes, and we got big breaking news, so let's lay into it, Riley.
Well, the world is waking up this morning to the news that Iraq's occupiers have turned over power to an interim government 2 days ahead of schedule. Nothing to the rumor that they did so it would ruin Mark Maron's countdown to democracy. Officials say the handover took place early to try and thwart escalating attacks by insurgents. The transition occurred at a small ceremony in the Green Zone, that's in Baghdad, of course, at 2:26 a.m. Eastern Time. Associated Press correspondent Lourdes Navarro provides details.
the new interim prime minister, Iyad Alawi, called it an historic moment for Iraq, a very important day. Paul Bremer then handed over a letter confirming Iraq's sovereignty that he had signed in the morning, and gave it to the new Chief Justice of Iraq, who at that point received it. That was the formal moment when Iraq became a sovereign government.
Did she just say he had to sign for Iraq?
Yeah.
Like Bremer handed over a clipboard. Could you please just sign here that says you're taking responsibility? Thank you very much. Great.
Yeah, it's like title to a new car or something. I mean, it's unbelievable.
Good luck with it. We've done all we can. You take care.
And by the way, Lourdes, nice cell phone. The U.S.-led coalition may say they've handed over power, but it retains several vestiges of that same power. Coalition Governor Paul Bremer has issued a number of edicts that restrict the interim government from, among other things, making long-term policy decisions.
So that means that the new government is relatively powerless in light of the American occupation that still goes on. There's 160,000 troops that are going to remain.
Yeah.
Sovereignty is pretty conditional, and they're saying that, you know, you guys can, you know, hang out, but you got to pass through any rules or judgments you want to put forth on the people through us. Is that
yeah, and to an extent, I think what they're saying is, okay, if you want to make a decision for what's going to happen over the next 3 months, that's fine. 6 months, you got to check with us.
Well, so leading up to the elections in 2005,
mm-hmm.
So they're saying that they can't make any real decisions just to get organized, but after that, you got to check with us?
Well, it sounds as if, in terms of long-term policy decisions, first of all, it will be up to the coalition to determine what long-term policy decisions actually are. It's not going to be up to the Iraqis. In other words, the Iraqis are not going to say, well, we're not going to do this because it's a long-term policy decision. They'll probably make a decision, and then the coalition will say, you know what, you can't do that. That's a long-term policy decision.
So you're saying that the people don't really have a voice as of yet, and it's yet to be seen whether they ultimately will have a voice. So the voice is really this interim government.
Yeah, the voice is the interim government. It seems as though if you look at, and as we did earlier this morning, reaction on the street in Baghdad, for example, that reaction is decidedly mixed. There are some people that are overjoyed that this government now has some degree of sovereignty. There are other people who are a little bit more skeptical about how exactly or how actually that sovereignty is going to be made manifest. In other words, how will the Iraqis be able to say to the how will the interim government be able to say to the people of Iraq, yes, we are a sovereign government, we are making our own decisions? Because that's crucial.
Yeah, especially with 160,000 American troops still there, and there's an understanding between the interim government and the American administration, the Bush administration, I'm assuming, that they can say they don't want the troops there anymore, but they've agreed not to say that.
Yeah, they say it's pretty clear that the Iraqis are not going to ask for the U.S. to leave. But see, the other thing I wonder about, Mark, this is obviously something that was planned in advance. They didn't just turn up yesterday morning and say, you know what, we're going to hand over power 2 days early. So why did they decide to hand it over at 2:30 in the morning Eastern time?
Well, if what you were saying is true initially at the beginning of the broadcast here, is that, you know, they did it to sort of like, you know, hide from these possible attacks. That
yeah.
if there were bombings planned, if there were guerrilla, you know, attacks planned on the day of,
mm-hmm.
they sort of like, let's keep it on the down low. We'll do it in the middle of the night. We'll do it in this rented hall. No one's going to know. And we'll get out of it without them, you know, ruining our party.
Yeah, exactly. And CNN is reporting that President Bush, who was in Istanbul for a NATO summit, apparently was looking at his watch at one point and then turned around and whispered something in British Prime Minister Tony Blair's ear. And then they both turned around and grinned from ear to ear. So the speculation was, according to CNN, that Bush had told Blair at that, and it was around the same time, 2:26 a.m. Eastern time. So they figure that Bush had turned around and told Blair, oh, it's a done deal now, and they were both turning around being very happy.
Or else he just said, I gotta pee.
Yeah, right. I gotta go to the men's room.
I've got a list of things that are still left to do, though, even though the government has been turned over. I mean, we've got a very long list of things that haven't been done, and we'll share that with you on the rebound here after the break. We've also got the president's Palm Pilot, Fahrenheit 9/11, box office, and a lot more here on Air America Radio.
Do you know that 7 companies decide the films you get to see? As a result, fewer and fewer truly groundbreaking films are being released. so you, as a moviegoer, have less access to anything other than the standard Hollywood fare. Hi, I'm Larry Maestrich, founder of Film Movement, and producer of films such as Sling Blade and You Can Count on Me. Film Movement is a true grassroots movement of film fans who want greater access to alternative voices in film. Each month, subscribers to Film Movement receive an award-winning independent film to own on DVD directly from top film festivals such as Cannes and Sundance. Subscribe to Film Movement through Air America at airamericaradio.com in June and receive a free copy of The Party's Over, a critically acclaimed documentary narrated by Philip Seymour Hoffman about the state of democracy in America. Everyone deserves access to the best new releases. These films deserve to be seen. Help us support independent thinking by joining Film Movement or giving Film Movement as a gift for Father's Day or graduation. Subscribe today at airamericaradio.com.
Mom, can you take me to Supercuts?
Excuse me? Since when do you care what you look like?
Seriously, Mom, I need a haircut.
Is it a girl? Oh, my Lord, you're already into girls. My little boy's growing up. Oh, soon you'll be in college.
Mom, I'm 7.
And then you'll marry this girl, who we haven't even met yet, and be a big corporate executive. Oh, you look so good in a suit.
Are you going to take me to Supercuts, or should I call a cab?
And you'll be bringing the grandkids on the
Let's face it, your kids are growing up whether you like it or not. That's why Supercuts promises to give them a look you'll both love, usually quicker than it takes to get them to brush their teeth.
Dad, can you take me to Supercuts?
Supercuts? Jeez, where's the time gone? I mean, you were just a little baby, and now you're in school, growing hair.
Supercuts. We know how it is.
With over 1,700 locations, it's never been more convenient to let Supercuts take care of you and your hair. Call 1-800-SUPERCUTS or log on to supercuts.com for a location nearest you. And while you're there, check out the latest episode of The Mop Squad.
Hello from Athens, Greece, folks. Now, if you're a big sports fan like me, this is the place to be. They've got them all. Take fencing. My sword of choice is always the foil over the saber and épée. You've got to see it. That's why Connell Lodge and Roadway Inn Hotels have created the Wake Up a Winner sweepstakes. You could win a trip to the big events in Athens. To enter, visit choicehotels.com, or every time you stay at a Connell Lodge and Roadway Inn Hotels this summer, you'll get a game piece with a chance to win hundreds of prizes and discounts off your next stay. Wake Up a Winner. To book, call 800-4-CHOICE or go to choicehotels.com. Well, I'm off to rhythmic gymnastics, where it always comes down to who nails the tightest ribbon snake. Choice Hotel. We'll see you there.
No purchase necessary. Open to legal U.S. residents 18 and older. Void where prohibited. Promotion runs June 7th through August 29th, 2004. For official rules and how to enter without purchase, visit choicehotels.com.
Past the hour. I'm Mark Maron. This is Morning Sedition. Mark Wiley is here.
Hey.
It's Air America Radio. We're blogging at morningsedition.com. We're taking emails at sedition at airamericaradio.com. We're talking now about the two-day premature handover. Not premature. I mean, they handed it over 2 days early is what happened. I mean, it's premature only in the sense that they had set a date, and now they've done it 2 days before because why? There's a lot of speculation because they were trying to sort of get the jump on a lot of terrorist activity that might have occurred, you know, the day of. You know, the terrorists and guerrillas and insurgents and all the people that the U.S. has deemed bad were planning on celebrating the turnover by blowing stuff up and probably killing people. So instead of facing that, what they did is they snuck away in the middle of the night and eloped, basically. They had a small ceremony with just family and the clergy there and someone to sign over the country of Iraq.
It was about five people, it looked like. I know there was Bremer was there, the prime minister, the president of Iraq. These are all interim guys.
Yeah.
The head of the Supreme Court, who had to be there, apparently, in order for it to be a legal, you know, transfer of title, I guess, is like they say when you buy in a house.
Transfer of title.
Yeah. I mean, and, you know, Bremer didn't wait 15 minutes, it seems like, before he was up in the air on his way home.
Oh, yeah. The suits are leaving. The uniforms are staying.
Yeah, right.
That was always the plan. Now, you know, I've got this weird little, not a weird little, but a to-do list. Things left on the list of things to do now that Iraq has been handed over. This was stuff that was supposed to be done by the handover. Yes?
Yes.
This was supposed to be done. See, let's see. One, come up with a plan for Iraqi governance. That's partially completed. Replace assassinated government officials. That's going to be an ongoing thing, I'm sure. Yeah.
Yes.
Three, give the next five speeches and six-part series of speeches on status of Iraq. That's the president, I'm assuming, and he's given one. Four, disarm militias. That, yes, is not happening yet. Arrest Muqtada al-Sadr and dismantle his organization.
Sure.
Has not happened. Six, train Iraqi defense forces. Turning out not to be as easy as thought. Train Iraqi police forces. Again, not so easy. Find the evidence of the WMDs. That's been put on the back burner completely.
That's Mission Impossible.
Yeah, and I have quite a few other things that we will get to. But right now we've got sort of a surprise and exciting guest. Borzu Daragahi is in Baghdad. He's our journalist in Iraq. He is on the phone now. Good morning, Borzu.
Borzu.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you doing?
Good. How are you doing?
What's the reaction there
good,
in Iraq?
Good. You know, I'm not sure exactly if the reaction outside is that sort of locked inside the kind of a green zone here, trying to cover the bunch of ceremonies that are coming up. What I understand is a pretty muted reaction, but Iraq is definitely looking forward and has been looking forward to the handover of sovereignty. This came as kind of a surprise. I think it is just sort of freaking out to the rest of the country.
You're breaking up a little bit, but what I got is we'll try and get back to him later in terms of getting a better connection. But he said there was a muted reaction, but Iraqis are looking forward to the transition over to the interim government. I think that's what he said.
It sounded like he was inside the green zone.
Right.
So he said it was a little difficult for him to gauge reaction on the street. But that means that he was there, I assume, at the time that this transfer of power was actually taking place. Let's hear a bit from the recently departed U.S. governor.
You mean left.
Yeah, recently left town governor, Paul Bremer, who had this to say about that transfer.
As recognized in U.N. Security Council Resolution 1546, the Coalition for Provisional Authority will cease to exist on June 28th, at which point the occupation will end and the Iraqi interim government will assume and exercise full sovereign authority on behalf of the Iraqi people.
Now, here's the problem with what he just said.
Mm-hmm.
He said the occupation will end. Now, if you're an Iraqi, okay, not one of Bremer's people, or not Alawi or any of just an ordinary Iraqi, what does that say? The occupation will end. Wouldn't that kind of imply that all those troops that you've been seeing running around would leave? If an occupation is over, theoretically, the occupiers are gone.
Well, as we've been saying on this show for weeks now, if not months, is that, you know, this is a symbolic gesture. I mean, you know, if this government really does have to answer, for the most part, on any sort of policy decisions to the American government, and 160,000 troops remain in Iraq, what happened today, or what was supposed to happen 2 days from now, for whatever reason, you know, happened tonight, which was to avoid, you know,
violence allegedly.
Yeah. Is that it's symbolic gesture, really.
It's not because Bremer had to catch a plane, is it?
Who knows? But, I mean, you know, all these guys are going to leave. The troops are going to leave. And contractors, from what I understand.
But the troops aren't leaving.
No, I mean, the troops are staying. 160,000. But Bremer's going to leave. All the suits are leaving.
Yeah.
And the military contractors who are going to remain in Iraq are now, you know, supposedly beyond the law as well.
Yeah, that's true. And who is going to explain to the Iraqi people all this nuance that you just described? The occupation is over, but the occupiers are staying. Not only are the occupiers staying, but some of the people who are responsible for bringing you electricity and all of this, if they rape your daughter, don't worry about it. They're not going to be prosecuted for it.
Yeah, that sort of does encourage it. I mean, how can Iraqis really trust the Americans on that kind of stuff? I mean, you know, given what happened in Abu Ghraib and what happened, you know, with the war itself, mm-hmm. I mean, you've got these contractors running around who've got sort of a free ticket. I mean, you know, to just trust them, you know, that nothing bad will happen, or that, you know, it seems a little ridiculous, but they should be held accountable for something.
It is ridiculous. And see, the other thing I think that people have to start looking at now is what is going to be the status of the people who have been kidnapped. There is a Pakistani, three Turks, and allegedly a U.S. Marine, reportedly a U.S. Marine.
Right.
Who are all being held captive by insurgents. We don't know if it's all by Zakawi's people. We don't know if it's more than one group of insurgents. We don't know where they are or who has them.
Right.
Are we writing their lives off at this point?
Well, that's a good question, Mark, is that, you know, how much attention will continue to be paid by the international press to what's going on in Iraq? Will this administration, will the American press start to detach from this in collusion with the government, our government, Bush, his desire to wash his hands of it? Because we always assume that this handover would be a sort of, you know, symbolic hand washing of this administration, being able to see, well, we did it, we're out. And clearly we know that they're not out, but will the international press and the American press continue to give us dispatches from Iraq that will, you know, allow us to keep a pulse on what's happening there? Because the only real difference is that Bremer's gone and that the idea of the handover is over, but the occupation, as you said before, continues. And I'm sure with an American Marine in as a hostage that, you know, the press is not going to let off of this thing. And it's, it's an amazing thing. It seems that he might have been an Arab American. Is it?
They say, now, Al Jazeera, when they first reported it, said that he was of Pakistani origin. The Marines are saying that he was, in fact, Lebanese. So I don't know. Either way, you're talking about people either from the Middle East or from South Asia. But the other thing, Mark, is that the scourge of Honduras, John Negroponte, will be taking, not taking Bremer's place, but he will be now the ambassador and will be, I guess, America's point man.
America's point man in, creating some sort of, pseudo-legitimate black ops corps to go out and manage Iraq. Maybe he's going to be in charge of those contractors that they're talking about.
Death squads. Anyone want to be a part of a death squad?
Halliburton death squads.
I don't know. Yeah, right? It could be a scary thing. Now, I guess we, as serious journalists, we're not supposed to speculate about those sorts of things. But, here's Bush. He's in Turkey for a NATO summit, which is also interesting because he's asking the NATO people to contribute, if not troops, which they are all laughing in his face about, some kind of expertise. We need people to help rebuild this. We need people to help put the electricity back on, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And we need people to train the Iraqi police force. And what the big squabble now is whether or not the training will take place inside or outside of Iraq. A lot of these NATO countries say, look, we'll train whoever you want, but it's going to have to take place outside the country. We're not putting our nationals at risk going into this mess that you created.
And also it's interesting about the NATO agreement to train was not, like France did not want to deal directly with this administration, but they were willing to deal with the interim government of Iraq.
Of Iraq, yeah.
They wanted to negotiate with the new government and maintain that they weren't negotiating with the Bush administration. I want to correct myself. I didn't mean to say Halliburton death quads. I meant to say Blackwater or one of the other military contractors that are more specific.
Wait a minute. Are we now, we have to correct a joke?
We have to correct irreverence. We're correcting irreverence.
Yes.
But like I said, they haven't even established a U.S. embassy in Iraq yet. So Negroponte, I guess, will be working out of a tent or maybe a small office.
Or somewhere. Maybe the Republican Palace. It's always a comfortable
spot. But they're not sure who gets that.
Still. I know.
Over that.
Still to come. Fahrenheit 9/11 finishes number one. The presidential palm pilot, Jack Ryan's out. Is Zell Miller in? Plus the all-important liberal agenda when we come back here on Air America Radio.
Good afternoon, sir. Is this your first visit to the Museum of Television and Radio?
Unfortunately not. I breezed through here last Thursday, and frankly, I was baffled.
How so?
Well, it's like no museum I've ever been to. None of the great masters are represented.
Well, I can't agree with you there, sir. Hitchcock, Gleason, Cosby, Lucy, Cronkite.
But the whole atmosphere, complete lack of stuffiness. Just ordinary people sitting at private monitors watching television and listening to radio programs.
Yeah, we have over 100,000 programs going back to the early days of broadcasting right up to the present.
But they were enjoying themselves, some laughing out loud, some weeping out loud.
Having a good time.
Precisely. It's a museum. Where are your velvet ropes, your stifled yawns?
It's not that kind of museum.
I should say no.
I'm sorry you didn't have fun.
I did, but I don't go to a museum to have fun.
Where do you go?
Well, from now on, I'm coming here, but that's not the point. You really ought to work on your stuffiness, you know.
You think so?
Yes, you should have thrown me out 5 minutes ago.
The Museum of Television and Radio, with locations in New York and Los Angeles. For more information in New York, call 212-621-6600 or visit us on the web at www.mtr.org.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning, I'm Wayne Gilman. Big news out of Iraq this morning, as was the element of surprise, the U.S.-led coalition leadership formally transferred power to the new Iraqi government days ahead of time. U.S. Governor L. Paul Bremer of the coalition handed over the governing paper, but major legal provisions were put in place that is already raising doubts on whether the new government really has the power. Despite the latest developments in Iraq, several people are facing imminent executions at the hands of their captors who have ties to Al-Qaeda and do not acknowledge the new interim government. President Bush arrived in Turkey yesterday for the launch of talks with NATO leaders, but 40,000 Turks chanting anti-Bush slogans were in the backdrop who are unalterably opposed to the war and now ended occupation. And Michael Moore scored a touchdown this weekend in the box office, coming in number one with his controversial Fahrenheit 9/11. Wayne Gilman, Air America Radio News.
Look at this one, Dad. Like new, best offer.
No, honey, that's a private owner. I'd feel better if we went to a Ford dealer for a quality check certified pre-owned Ford.
Certified?
Yep. 115 points of inspection and 6-year, 75,000-mile powertrain limited warranty coverage.
Oh, we can't get that from a private owner.
Or roadside assistance and 3.9% financing.
You're right, Dad. If it's not certified, it's just used.
Not all buyers will qualify for Ford credit financing. Take delivery from dealer stock by June 30th, 04. See dealer for warranty details or visit FordCPO.com.
Do nasal allergies hit you where it hurts most? Your wallet?
Yeah.
Then ask your doctor about Flonase, fluticasone propionate nasal spray, 50 micrograms. Flonase has the lowest average copay of any leading prescription nasal allergy brand in the nation. And now you could save up to $60 a year through the Allergy Rewards Program. Call 1-800-FLONASE or visit Flonase.com to learn more. Only Flonase is approved to treat nasal symptoms from indoor and outdoor allergies, as well as year-round non-allergic nasal symptoms that can feel like allergies. All prescription products are not approved to treat the same symptoms. Only your doctor can decide what treatment option is best for you. For best results, use daily. Maximum relief may take several days and results may vary. Side effects are generally mild and may include headache, nosebleed, or sore throat. See our ad in Fitness Magazine. Call 1-800-FLONASE or ask your doctor or pharmacist about the medicine that's tough on nasal allergies.
Huh?
Easy on your wallet. All it takes is FLONASE. Allergy Rewards Program subject to eligibility.
The Majority Report.
Hi, tonight on The Majority Report, Robert Meeropol, younger son of Ethel and Julius Rosenberg, executive director of the Rosenberg Fund for Children, progressive activist, author, and speaker, Grant Winthrop of Republicans for Kerry, Anthony Arnove and Amy Goodman from Democracy Now! And the Untitled Book Talk Thing, and Dave Eggers. Dave Eggers.
Tonight on The Majority Report.
On Air America Radio.
Past the hour, Mark Maron here with Mark Riley on Morning Sedition.
Hey!
Air America Radio, blogging, morningsedition.com, email, sedition@airamericaradio.com.
If you're just joining us, Iraq has been handed over.
Yeah.
There has been a transition.
They were presented with a clipboard for their signature by Bremer. They signed, and it has been delivered, and Bremer got into a DSL plane and flew away. The suits have left, the uniforms stay.
That's right.
So it's very conditional sovereignty. Right now I've got the presidential palm pilot from my guy in the Oval Office who's downloaded the schedule for the president today. 7 o'clock a.m. Wake up. Realize I'm in the Middle East. Call in sick. 8 a.m. Realize I can't call in sick. Damn. 9:30 a.m. Participate in working session of the North Atlantic Council, Istanbul. Find a Starbucks. You can't get decent coffee in this place. Turkey. 1 p.m., working lunch. Have Secret Service find nearest bathroom in case I need to cut and run. Whoa, poopy joke. 3:55 p.m., meet with Tony Blair. Have my way with him. Again, pathetic whore. 7 p.m., meet with U.S. Mission. Tell them they are eligible for government explosion insurance. 8 p.m., attend cultural event at Topkapi Palace. Surprise, it's Fahrenheit 9/11. 8:50 p.m., dinner at the palace. Refuse to eat until everyone says grace. 9 p.m. notes for dinner conversation. When passing dishes, avoid the use of the word handover. And don't say, is this Kurdish? 10:50 p.m. return to hotel. Ticking sound might not be coming from alarm clock. 10:52 p.m. check out of hotel. Check into helicopter on the roof. Tell pilot to keep engines running and maybe read me a story. Aww. There's the presidential pilot, palm pilot for today. Now, we're going to talk a little bit about speculation in terms of the 9/11 Commission's findings, and it seems that the jury is saying that it could have been stopped.
They are saying it was preventable, and they are largely laying the blame for it not being prevented on the CIA. Now, this is, three, I believe, reports, at least two reports, parts of which have become public. One of which is, of course, on the part of the House Intelligence Committee, which really slammed the CIA.
Right.
And now, of course, Newsweek magazine in the person of Michael Isikoff, who we will be talking to later this morning.
About some other stuff.
A little beef and this. Yeah, well, Michael Isikoff is reporting in this week's Newsweek that sources tell him that, in fact, the 9/11 Commission staff report will also slam the CIA and will also say, and there was some question as to whether the language would be this strong, that 9/11 could have been prevented.
Well, I mean, but let's, I mean, I'm just, from where we're coming from on our show, you know, we've been talking about this. Is this going to be a way to continue to lay the blame on Tenet and just say, look, you know, we got rid of the problem that, you know, Tenet, you know, his managing of the CIA was bad, and now, you know, that problem has been dealt with? Or can we draw from the fact that, you know, we've been saying that 9/11, you know, could have been preventable for a while now for a number of reasons and not just, you know, CIA oversight, correct?
Not just CIA oversight, and certainly, but see, the Bush administration, and I think they will hand this off to Dick Cheney. I'm just speculating about this, but this is my prediction. They'll give this to Cheney. Cheney, who went to Langley himself.
You mean Dick Cheney?
That's the one.
Yeah.
He will be the person that Bush will put forward to say, yes, it was an intelligence failure on the part of the Central Intelligence Agency, and we all know that there was a problem, and now that that's been changed.
There's snakes coming out of my ears again.
Well, I mean, look, the transcript of August 6, 2001 is really, really difficult to ignore.
This is the PDB?
PDB. You know, and we don't want to read all of this, I
guess. Let's just summarize it. Go ahead.
Well, I mean, essentially, it is...
It was called Bin Laden Determined to Strike in U.S.
In U.S., yes.
That was August 6, 2001.
Mm-hmm. And the FBI, by the way, on August 6, 2001, was conducting approximately 70 full-field investigations throughout the country that it considered Bin Laden-related. 70, month before 9/11.
And Bush said, Osama who?
Who?
Osama.
Bin who?
That sounds from Bin Laden. I know that name. That name is my dad's friend who, you know, we used to, I met them one time when he was at my dad's house and we were talking about, they were talking about oil stuff, you know, money, that kind
of
stuff.
Yeah. And of course, Condoleezza Rice was also reportedly kind of, you know, had that deer in the headlights look when all of this terror stuff was being brought up. Before 9/11.
Talk about deer in the headlights, man. If you see Fahrenheit 9/11 and you see some of the footage, some of the feed footage they got of all these people getting makeup and some of the statements where they sort of dig their own holes, the way that Michael Moore organizes facts.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's been a lot of criticism of the way this movie propagandizes, you know. But you know what? So what? He was very careful in his facts, and the organization of facts to make a point from an opinion of a filmmaker is completely legitimate. And it's so exciting that he's putting it right up the booty of all of these Republicans and all of these people that, you know, have been propagandizing for them for the last 4 years. All right, but we'll talk about all that coming back here on Air America Radio.
Attention, students, graduates, and parents. You could cut your student loan payments in half with the federal low interest rate programs available from College Loan Corporation. Thousands have already done it, and now you too can cut your federal student loan payments up to 50% or more. Call 1-800-CLC-1979 anytime, 24/7. College Loan Corporation will help you refinance your college loans and lock in federal interest rates as low as 2.63%, the lowest rates in nearly 40 years. If you are not taking advantage of this program, you could be paying twice as much as everyone else. It's easy to apply. There is no credit check, no hoops to jump through, and in just minutes, you'll be on your way to locking in the lowest rates in decades. Let us make this a reality for you today. Call 1-800-CLC-1979. It's the smartest call you can make. Call College Loan Corporation today at 1-800-CLC-1979. That's 1-800-CLC-1979.
Whether it's fair or not, people judge you by the words you use. In business and socially, your vocabulary and language skills tell everyone about your background, education, even your intelligence. That's why you need Verbal Advantage. While you listen, Verbal Advantage will give you the confidence that comes with a strong command of the English language. No more fumbling for the right word. No more embarrassment at how to express yourself. No more fear of using the wrong word. And it's so easy. To learn, you simply listen. When you want. Where you want. See why over 100,000 people have already gotten the verbal advantage they need for success.
To learn more about verbal advantage, call now. 1-800-603-WORD. That's 603-WORD.
1-800-603-WORD.
Gary Boland, COVID technician on reality television.
Oh, you mean the news?
On global warming.
I love summer.
And on business broadband.
I'm glad you asked. You know, the key to choosing broadband is the same as any business decision. It's value. At COVID, you get broadband built for business for less than the local phone company's repackaged residential plans. In fact, your business could save hundreds of dollars a year with COVID. Plus, with the security of SDSL dedicated lines and 99.9% uptime guaranteed, you can relax, knowing your business isn't going to hit a brick wall. Now, I could go on.
Gary Bullen on astrology.
Well, I've always wanted to go to space.
Business broadband. COVID knows it like nobody else. To get broadband built for business, call 1-800-555-0454. Plus, get a free router after mail-in rebate through June 30th, 2004 when your business signs up at 1-800-555-0454 or gocovid.com. See website for guaranteed details and availability. Saving based on published rates, March 10, 2004.
Good morning. It's Morning Sedition. I'm Mark Maron. I'm here with Mark Riley.
Yeah, yeah.
42 past the hour, Air America Radio. Dude, I went and saw Fahrenheit 9/11 at 11:30 on Saturday. There was a line around the theater. It was kind of interesting because it was the first showing, so you get all the... It's very funny to see the old lefties that,
yeah,
you know, didn't become righties or centralies, you know, but like...
In other words, the ones that didn't sell the heck out.
Yeah, have carried the banner of the left, and, you know, they're just sort of like, you know, they're like six-year-old dudes would still have the granny glasses and the beret and the gray ponytail, like, right on, man, we're going to take them down. I heard one woman go, Bloomberg's worse than Giuliani. I heard that, you know, just the political discussions on the line. Everyone was worked up. It was beautiful. But the big news is that over the weekend, it was even a bigger box office than they expected. 21.8 million at only 868 theaters. Can you believe that? That's like $25,000 around, $25,000 per screen average.
And they have never, that I know of, had a documentary debut at number one. Ever. So Michael Moore deserves a round of Morning Sedition applause, ladies and gentlemen.
Let's have the slow build applause.
Yeah.
Like he needs more of it. You know what? I'm taking it away.
Was that from Khan?
He's getting plenty of applause. He doesn't need his big ego fed anymore, but he did do a great thing, you know, and he did do it. Like, I saw the movie, and literally, I get very moved when you know, in theater, too, but people in the audience were so relieved to see and hear what they were hearing. It's almost like when Air America first came on.
Yeah.
You know, that, you know, people were like, Oh my God. Oh my God. So, there's someone saying this and showing this. Like, people were clapping and talking to the screen. And it was like, and I get really choked up when that happens, when people become a group of people that are angry about something.
Nobody.
Or coming together about something.
Nobody up and down the aisle selling anything, were they?
No, there was none of that. And I didn't sell no reefer. I didn't sell nothing.
Okay,
I
just checking.
I just heard a lot of, like, right on, you know, yes, yes.
Yeah.
And it was, the movie itself was very compelling. It had a lot of different aspects. And from what I understand, Michael Moore went out of his way to, you know, really make sure that the facts were right, that what he was presenting, you know, came from truthful sources. I mean, the thing is that all that people can really be critical of, I read Christopher Hitchens' reaction to it, and there's someone writing a book against Michael Moore now, and there's a lot of reaction to it, but they cannot really criticize, you know, his facts. They can criticize his organization of his facts, but, you know, he's been very sort of, you know, unabashed in saying, look, I got an agenda, you know, this is how I feel, I'm standing up for what I think is right, and this is the way I see it. And there's nothing wrong with that. And all they can really do is be critical of, you know, his stance.
You know, you spoiled it for me.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You gave away the ending.
I did?
Yeah. I haven't seen the movie yet.
What's the ending?
I don't know.
The ending.
But you gave it away, you slammed.
Yeah, we're not going to know the ending until November, my friend.
I know, you're probably right. But you know what? I am enough of a conspiracy theorist, and I'm learning this from you, Maron.
Good.
I am enough of a conspiracy theorist to think that they handed over power in Iraq 2 days early to blunt the impact of Michael Moore being number one in the box office.
A little wagging the tail of the dog, the wag the dog thing.
Yeah. I mean, I, you know, hey, call me cynical, call me whatever. But I just find it very interesting.
As soon as the box office numbers came in, Bush made a call to Bremer. Dude, you
now
we got to do this.
Yeah, because I mean, look, they could have done it Friday. They could have done it Saturday. They could have done it before the numbers came out.
I'll be honest with you, man. The repetition of the scene of Bush, you know, in the schoolroom reading the book when the planes were hitting the buildings. Some of the stuff that Bush said, you know, unashamedly. I mean, some of the stuff that Bush said to groups of people that he didn't think were going to be repeated anywhere were mind blowing. I mean, it's just like, you know, he's opening a speech to, I guess, I don't even know who it was, but it was obviously a money bunch.
Mm-hmm.
And he said that he's happy to be talking to the haves and the have-mores. You know, this is some people call you the elite, but I call you my base. Yeah. I mean, that's sort of, you know, sort of unashamed pandering that I think to money, that I think that good working people of this country should really see this portrait of their president. I think it's important for them to see, you know, what he comes from, who he really is, the family he comes from, that family's business ties, and his, you know, lack of concern on some level for the armed services, for people's grief, for the reasons for going war. I mean, I just think it's a great portrait of the president taken from a very biased point of view, but a point of view that's legitimate.
Well, it's interesting, too, that Lionsgate, who were the people that ended up distributing the film, as opposed to Disney, who were originally supposed to distribute it but then punked, did some surveys. They always do surveys of audiences when they're leaving movie houses. I think the response was something like 91 to 93% positive on this film. In other words, people came out of this film, I think, believing what they had just seen and thinking it was a good film.
Yeah, well, they finally smell a rat. It's about time. It took them a long time to wake up to the smell. Hey, did you see the movie? Call us, 866-303-AAR0, 866-303-2270. Or if you've got some criticisms along the lines of how, you know, Michael Moore arranged the truth, call us up, 866-303-2270, because, you know, it's about time somebody arranged it this way.
And don't give the ending away for me, all right?
Come back, Air America Radio.
Are you losing your hair? Dr. Gary Gordon, Chief Medical Director at the world-renowned Gordon Research Institute, describes exciting new research guaranteed to solve your hair problem.
New data released by the FDA indicates that the body chemical dehydrotestosterone, commonly known as DHT, is the leading cause of hair loss. At our institute, we studied numerous hair loss treatments and found that Folinex is the most effective solution for stimulating new hair growth in balding areas. If you want to stop DHT from causing any further hair loss, then I strongly recommend that you try Folinex now. Folinex's DHT blocker has been used successfully for over 8 years by tens of thousands of men and women. Folinex is powerful enough to regrow hair on virtually anyone, we guarantee it.
Folinex is available for a limited time at half the price of other competitors. Folinex is guaranteed to work for you. So order risk-free now by calling 800-256-8214. That's 800-256-8214. Call 800-256-8214.
When I started this company, our mission was to be the most useful and most ethical provider in the financial services business.
Charles Schwab, founder and chairman of the Charles Schwab Corporation.
When you're dealing with people's money, when you're dealing with their financial dreams, you've got to hold it with the greatest of care.
With industry-leading equity research, trusted investment professionals, and personalized advice, Charles Schwab offers investors a better choice when it comes to low-cost investing.
It's about service, it's about best value, it's about ethics. It's all those things. That's what we're about every day.
Join the more than 3 million investors at Charles Schwab and enjoy lower trading costs plus advice and unparalleled service. Call 1-800-7-SCHWAB or stop by your local Schwab branch today.
Some benefits, including advice and certain equity research, available for a fee only through one or more Schwab Personal Choice or other fee-based services. New trading commissions effective 6/21/04. Charles Schwab & Co. Inc., member SIPC and NYSE.
If you want to do more with your home improvement project and with your budget, you can. The Home Depot can show you how. If you want to know more and know you're getting the lowest price every day, you can. Others try to get by on just a promise, but the Home Depot comes through time after time. It's how we were built, with a solid history and pure passion for bringing you the lowest possible prices on everything from washers and bolts to washers and dryers. When you buy as much as we do, you can afford to sell for less. That's the power of buying power. Simple stuff, just like our 10% price guarantee. If you ever find a lower price somewhere else, the Home Depot will beat it by 10%. Plus, if you want to get special finance offers that let you buy now and pay later, you can. Just ask an associate for details. If you want to pull it all together and know you're making your dollars and your dreams go farther, you can. The Home Depot. You can do it. We can help.
Phones are lighting up here on Morning Sedition. I'm Mark Maron. I'm here with Mark Reilly.
Hey!
It's Air America Radio. We're taking your calls at 866-303-2270. We're talking about Michael Moore's new film, Fahrenheit 9/11, which I was just informed I did not see the first showing of because they had midnight showings. And I want to say one thing before I take these calls, that any Republican accusing Michael Moore or any of the left or the Democrats propaganda being propagandistic in any way, you know, shame on them, really. I mean, this is an administration that went to war based on propaganda that turns out to be a lie, that people are dying because of their lie, and now they, you know, this, they got this coming. Liz in Minnesota, how are you?
Hey, Liz.
I'm so glad you're talking about this. Oh, my God, what a great movie.
I know, right?
And didn't you, like, walk out and, like, feel so totally pumped you wanted to go, like, beat somebody or
something? Well, apparently that happened at one theater somewhere.
One theater, yeah.
That,
really?
Well, yeah, yeah. There was someone came out of the movie who had seen the movie and made a criticism to a MoveOn.org representative, and there was some words exchanged.
Yeah.
So the liberals are finally the fighting liberals. Fighting liberals are back.
And that was in Vegas.
Well, Liz, I'm glad you had a great time. Yeah, I felt that way. I felt the same way that I felt once I started hearing other shows on Air America and stuff, that all of a sudden it's like, wow, you know, it's been so long since America has even heard voices of dissent in a public forum.
Well, that's just it. And the neat thing was is that everybody, like you said, in the audience was talking back to the screen going, oh, my God, I can't believe it. You know, I went and I saw the first showing here in the area.
Yeah.
So it was like 1 o'clock on Friday.
Yeah.
And I saw that with my husband. Came home. I was just pumped. I called my friend up. I'm like, you and I, we're going out tonight. I took her to the movie that night, and she was like, oh, my God, because, you know, I'd make her listen to Air America. She
sure.
didn't really understand all that.
Right. Oh, so
like,
now
she's crying. She's like, I understand now. Oh, my God, I understand why you're such a freak about this. I'm going to help you.
Oh,
she goes
wow.
to work the next. She goes to work the next day, makes everybody on her team go and see the movie. I
wow.
This is great.
Wow,
great.
So that's just great. So this is like, you know, this is really, we were going to talk about this later, but you bring up a good point, is that this might really, you know, change people's minds about this president.
Yeah.
Thanks a lot for calling, Liz. Good to talk to you. Hey, who do you got? Betsy. How are you, Betsy?
Hi, Betsy.
Hi.
What's on your mind?
Well, I saw the movie twice this weekend. Went on Saturday night and got a couple with us again on Sunday night.
Uh-huh.
And both times, we saw the movie in Key West.
Uh-huh.
Both times, when you go into the movie, people are talking, you know, they're
exactly.
chatting. And you come out of the movie, nobody's saying a word. Everyone is so awestruck by the depths of depravity that this president has sunk. He's evil.
Yes.
You know, you knew he was evil when he took office. But now, you know, it's there, right there. And I think it's going to help wake up a lot of people.
Wow. Yeah.
My favorite, well, there's so many. So many moments in the film.
Yeah, yeah.
When they interviewed Britney Spears.
I know, yeah.
It's funny, Mary, yeah, we were talking about that earlier.
We're not going to give it away, but thanks for calling, Betsy. Yeah, you got to go see the movie. I don't know. I think that most people who are going to see the movie are going to see it for other reasons, but there is a great bit of business in there with Britney Spears. Tim, a trucker on the road. How are you, buddy?
Hey, Tim.
Hey, what's going on, man? I went with my wife Saturday night to see this flick.
Yeah.
And I got to tell you, up until the point when, I know you don't want to give too much away, but I was seething with anger until the point where they started showing the toll on the Iraqi civilians.
Yeah.
And at that point was probably the first time since I was a kid that I cried in a movie.
Wow, man.
And I don't mind saying that because it was just the most horrible thing I'd ever seen in my life. But at the end of the movie, I thought, what an amazing job Michael Moore did. And yeah, I grew up in Grand Rapids, just down the road from Flint, so I've been a fan since Roger and me.
So you know also the realities that that happened there as well, huh?
Yeah, well, I have two of my best friends are over there right now, and I did my time in the Army during peacetime,
mm-hmm.
and so I never, you know, I was never asked to do anything like that.
Yeah.
And what really bugs me is that the next day, my wife and I are at church, and we're telling people about the movie, and there are still people who I consider to be intelligent people who are like, you know, no, I'm not going to see this movie. I don't, you know, I don't like Michael Moore. And they're just all gung-ho for the president, and they're just so blinded. They got blinders on because of their base core beliefs that have been instilled since Reagan.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's a good point. We're hoping that some of those people will go and it'll change their minds. I appreciate your call, Tim. Last call quickly. Mim in Stony Brook, how are you?
Hi, how are you?
Good.
Hi, Mim.
I saw the movie yesterday afternoon on a beautiful Sunday afternoon, 4 o'clock, and mm-hmm. the theater was full and very, very excited. But I've got to tell you, my two favorite parts, which won't give anything away.
Yeah, you can go ahead. Yeah.
But first of all, the movie is an extraordinary mix of poignant comic horror.
Yes.
I've never seen anything so skillful. My two favorite parts are when Michael Moore gets in the ice cream truck and goes around Washington reading the Patriot Act.
Yeah.
And the other one is when he stands outside the Capitol and stops congressmen and asks if they'd like to sign their children up for the service.
Oh, yeah,
he had a Marine sergeant.
Yeah, and the expression on their faces. Thanks for your call, man. You know, it's interesting what that trucker says is that few of us really take into mind the civilian casualties in Iraq.
Yeah.
And what he was saying, it was a very powerful moment in the film because, you know, this is a president that won't allow photographs of coffins that are, you know, decorated in a military way mm-hmm. to be released. He's a president that will not attend military funerals. And it's also a press culture in this country that does not really show the horrors of war. And you really do, you know, for a good part of this movie, you know, get a sense of that, and it's really devastating, and it's really powerful to assess it, you know, and feel the feelings that come up from that. Because I don't even know what the numbers are.
It's incredible. It is incredible, and they don't disseminate those numbers. But let's say good morning to all the truckers, because there's another trucker we didn't get to this morning. We love our truckers on the road.
Well, thanks for calling. Here's the liberal agenda for today. We'll take more calls in the next hour some other time, but right now, here's your marching orders for today. One, offer group counseling to Iraq for early handover syndrome. Two, after Gay Pride Weekend in New York City, solicit federal funds to help those suffering from disco hips. Three, convince Kerry to start working F-word into speeches for extra press coverage. Yeah. Four, convince Wayans Brothers to retitle their movie from White Chicks to Young Caucasian Females and make it into a sensitive coming-of-age lesbian drama. A little late for that, I think. Five, today's phrase, just drop it into conversation. From what I hear from Laura, George Bush always finishes early. Whoppy-do.
In the next hour of Morning's Edition, more on the early handover of power in Iraq. Mark Maron's Dream Diary, plus New York Times reporter Todd Purdom. As we roll on, you're listening to Air America Radio.
To the discriminating driver, a luxurious driving experience isn't an option as much as a requirement. That's why Goodyear developed the new Assurance, featuring Comfort Tread technology. Not only does this tire offer a distinct upscale appearance, it delivers a smooth, quiet, comfortable ride. Assurance, featuring Comfort Tread technology. It's the ultimate accessory for your luxury vehicle. For complete details and the retailer nearest you, call 1-800-GOODYEAR.
It's night. You have heartburn. You want fast relief. Zantac works fast. When first used, Prilosec OTC works not so fast. Zantac works right when you need it.
Hello, relief.
Prilosec's label says it may take 1 to 4 days to fully work. So, what would you choose?
Estimated time of relief, 1 to 4 days.
Prilosec, nah. Zantac's for people who hate to wait, especially at night. Use as directed.
You're listening to 1190 WLIV New York, the home of Air America Radio.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. Surprise, surprise. The Bush administration decided to formally end the U.S. occupation of Iraq just a couple of days before the original date of separation. Action was taken to surprise the insurgents and prevent them from trying to further sabotage the first step towards self-rule. Formal transfer occurred early this morning Eastern Time, in which a series of signed legal documents were handed over to the new government discussing the symbolism behind the event. Iraq's Foreign Minister, Hashim Zabari.
We will be in charge, that we will run our country, we will be responsible, we will be accountable vis-a-vis our people, how we best we manage. We need a different Iraq from Saddam's Iraq.
Meanwhile, there's some question on whether the new government really has the power this morning. Just before the transfer, coalition governor L. Paul Bremer received assurances from the new government on a series of legal measures, basically saying the new government must abide by American law. But critics are quick to condemn the actions of the coalition provisional authority, charging that the laws amount to meddling in Iraq's basic institutions. They say that's something that international law places out of bounds for an occupying power. Elsewhere, the recently departed Governor Bremer has appointed Iraqis handpicked by his aides to influential positions in the new interim government. Bremer has installed inspectors general for five-year terms in every ministry. Bremer also formed and filled commissions to regulate communications, public broadcasting, and security markets. He also named a public integrity commissioner who will have the power to refer corrupt government officials for prosecution. Despite the latest developments in Iraq, the nation remains the scene of a killing field, and several lives of several men are in question. There were disturbances over the weekend between insurgents' forces and coalition in parts of the country, but the center of the concern right now are the lives of several men, three Turks, one Pakistani worker, and a U.S. Marine. All have been kidnapped by elements loyal to terrorist Abu Musab al-Zarqawi. The kidnappers are threatening to execute each unless a series of demands, including the release of Iraqi prisoners, are met. Bush is unpopular in Turkey, where the overwhelming majority of public opposed the Iraq war. As the president arrived in Turkey Saturday, supporters of Jordanian-born militant al-Zarqawi said they kidnapped three Turkish workers in Iraq. This according to Arab network television Al Jazeera. The group has threatened to behead the hostages, and the protests in the Kadıköy district on the Asian side of Istanbul attracted more than 40,000 people. Former Iraqi President Saddam Hussein will be handed over to Iraqi police by the United States in a process designed to show Iraq's their former leader in handcuffs and under Iraqi control. This according to CBS News. You're listening to Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman.
Beginning Monday, June 28th on AMC. Watch all five Rocky movies. 5 days, five Rockies, one network. Rocky Fest, all five Rockies, all week long. Every night at 8, 7 Central. Beginning tonight, only on AMC.
Mom, can you take me to Supercuts?
Excuse me? Since when do you care what you look like?
Seriously, Mom, I need a haircut.
Is it a girl? Oh, my Lord, you're already into girls. My little boy's growing up. Oh, soon you'll be in college.
Mom, I'm 7.
And then you'll marry this girl, who we haven't even met yet, and be a big corporate executive. Oh, you look so good in a suit.
Are you going to take me to Supercuts, or should I call a cab?
And you'll be bringing the grandkids on the
weekend. Let's face it, your kids are growing up whether you like it or not. That's why Supercuts promises to give them a look you'll both love, usually quicker than it takes to get them to brush their teeth.
Dad, can you take me to Supercuts?
Supercuts? Jeez, where has the time gone? I mean, you were just a little baby, and now you're in school, growing hair.
Supercuts. We know how it is.
With over 1,700 locations, it's never been more convenient to let Supercuts take care of you and your hair. Call 1-800-SUPERCUTS or log on to supercuts.com for a location nearest you. And while you're there, check out the latest episode of The Mop Squad.
Hello from Athens, Greece, folks. Now, if you're a big sports fan like me, this is the place to be. They've got them all. Take fencing. My sword of choice is always the foil over the saber in FA. You've got to see it. That's why Econo Lodge and Roadway Inn Hotels have created the Wake Up a Winner sweepstakes. You could win a trip to the big events in Athens. To enter, visit choicehotels.com, or every time you stay at Econo Lodge and Roadway Inn Hotels this summer, you'll get a game piece with a chance to win hundreds of prizes and discounts off your next stay. Wake Up a Winner. To book, call 800-4-CHOICE or go to choicehotels.com. Well, I'm off to rhythmic gymnastics, where it always comes down to who nails the tightest ribbon snake. Choice Hotel. We'll see you there.
No purchase necessary. Open to legal U.S. residents 18 and older. Void where prohibited. Promotion runs June 7th through August 29th, 2004. For official rules on how to enter without purchase, visit choicehotels.com.
Randy Rhodes.
If you ever want to understand anything, first thing you got to do is make a timeline. I discovered it with the O.J. Simpson trial. In this case, with the thing with 9/11, it was just amazing to me because by the time the second plane crashed, it was only 9 o'clock in the morning, 9:03. Everyone in my house knew we were under attack. And what's amazing is that nowhere in the government is there television. You don't need Star Wars. We need DirecTV and stuff. Basic cable would have done it. That's all I had.
Randy Rhodes on Air America Radio.
Maron, you're listening to Air America Radio at 6 past the hour, and this is Morning Sedition. It's Monday, and today a milestone day in history. Iraq becomes a sovereign nation with all the freedoms and liberties entitled to a nation still being run by the United States. Plus, my dream diary and our Monday job listing, that's all coming up. Right now I'm joined here by Mark Riley. We've got some news.
Good morning.
Good morning. Sorry, we've got some news about our partner, Sue Ellicott. She's going to be a reporter out in the field talking to you guys in the real world. She'll be in the battleground states this fall when the campaign is in full swing. She's going to be reporting for us and also for the rest of the network. So she gets to do what she really likes to do best, which is be a reporter. And we get to start acting like a real network with actual correspondents out in the field. So expect her first reports in the next week or so. Got an email from her last week saying, ha ha, I get to sweep late.
Yeah, nothing quite like a nyan.
Yeah. But she also said it was pleasant.
Yes.
kind of. Yeah. Woo! Yeah.
We're waiting for you, Sue.
Waiting for those reports, but I'll give you a report right now. I saw Fahrenheit 9/11.
Don't give it away.
I won't give it away. There's nothing to give away.
I know.
We're going to see the ending in November. That's what's going to happen. I will tell you, it is a very provocative, awesome bit of filmmaking, and we're going to talk about it at length in a little while.
That's right. And all endings are happy endings, eh?
Well, hopefully. I mean, this will help. You know, it'll put people over the top, people who are on the fence. It'll show them a side of George Bush that they might not have seen before. Also, I want to say that the criticism out there on the street from the spinmeisters and the right is essentially that, you know, this is left-wing propaganda. So what? You know what? It's an organization of facts to suit, you know, a way of looking at the world that is not commonly seen in this country right now. And for the left, on any level, or for the right on any level, to accuse anybody of putting out propaganda is so hypocritical. I mean, the right are a group of people that are now using Hitler in an advertisement that you can see right now at georgewbush.com. Now, they are blaming the left for posting the Hitler first. Now, this was on the Move On, I think, the MoveOn.org website.
Yes.
As a runner-up, or maybe not even a runner-up, in a competition they had to produce a commercial. It was put on the back of the website, and it was, I think, taken off at some point. So they are blaming MoveOn.org for originally showing Hitler. But you know what? When liberals use Hitler, they're usually criticizing this administration fascistic tendency in government, all right, that when we use Hitler or the Nazis to characterize this administration, it is for political reasons. What the right is doing is that they are using Hitler to make examples of Kerry, Howard Dean, and Al Gore of being passionate speakers. They're using it to criticize a mode of expression of passion and commitment to a cause, and that is so low. That is just so low to, you know, bring up the ghost of Adolf Hitler, and I'm not even sure they're paying the estate of Hitler. They might be using Hitler, you know, without the
Proper copyright.
The express permission of the Hitler family.
Well, the copyrights may have run out after a certain period of time, but you know.
But one second. I just think it's like I'm sorry.
No, go ahead.
I just think like you know. First of all, charisma, passion, commitment to a cause is a very positive thing for the Democrats, and it is not crazy. It is not wild. It is not out of control. You know, Hitler was an evil bastard who did a lot of evil things, but he did mobilize people for the wrong reason. And let me tell you something. If the Democratic Party can mobilize people for the right reason with the equivalent amount of passion, then I think it's a great thing. And that for them to use Hitler to you know draw examples, you know, of the Democrat, it's just a heinous propaganda activity, and they have no right to criticize anybody else of being propagandist. Sorry, Mark.
No. What you're saying is that they're desperate. They know that they're losing. And they're desperate. And we're going to see even more desperation coming out of this administration. Now, speaking of desperation, Mark, I got to ask you.
Yeah.
Do you think that the United States and the coalition, let's be fair, handed over power to Iraq 2 days early because they actually finished their work ahead of time?
Well, some people might not know this. Maybe we should wait out.
Yeah,
let's set up the news story and then have the conversation about it.
The Iraqi interim government, that is the prime minister and president, have received power 2 days early. For those of you who don't know, it was supposed to happen on Wednesday. It happened at approximately 2:26 a.m. Eastern time this morning. Paul Bremer, who is now flying over the friendly skies of, I'm sure, Western Europe somewhere on his way home, he signed things over, actually had a pad in his hand, signed things over to the Supreme Court justice that was present at the scene, said thank you very much, and apparently got on a plane and got out of Dodge. He will be replaced in Baghdad by John Negroponte, the scourge of Honduras, who is now Iraq's ambassador. America's ambassador to this new Iraqi interim government. While it may appear as though they have some power, they don't have as much power as most other interim sovereign governments. I shouldn't say interim. Most other sovereign governments. There are certain things they cannot do. For example, tell any of the 160,000 coalition forces what to do. Private contractors.
Except to leave.
They're
allowed to tell them to leave, but they've agreed to not do that.
Yeah. And if they do, and the coalition says no,
what are they going to do?
Realistically, what are they going to do?
This is extremely conditional sovereignty.
Yeah.
And now let's speculate. What you were saying before and what we were talking about, off the air on the break was that, you know, why did they do it 2 days early? They're saying it was to avoid any sort of terrorist, you know, intrusion, you know, by, you know, explosion, gunfire, you know, death, violence.
Like they haven't had any beforehand.
Right.
But you know what? Before we get to the speculation, let us hear Paul Bremer, before he left town, I'm talking about Baghdad now, in terms of this handover of power to an interim Iraqi government.
As recognized in UN Security Council Resolution 1546, Coalition Provisional Authority will cease to exist on June 28th, at which point the occupation will end and the Iraqi interim government will assume and exercise full sovereign authority on behalf of the Iraqi people.
Okay, so that's what Bremer said.
And then he took off his FedEx hat and got into a plane and flew away.
So I got a plane to catch.
Sign here for this country.
Yeah. Now, in Istanbul, where the NATO summit is ongoing, Iraqi Foreign Minister Hoshyar Zebari confirmed plans for bringing this handover forward. And this is where we're getting the idea that they did this to blunt the violence, blunt the kidnappings. Quote, I believe that we will challenge these terrorists, criminals, Saddamists, and anti-democratic forces by bringing even the date of the handover forward. This is after he met with Tony Blair. I believe sometime today, there's supposed to be a press conference on the part of the president from Istanbul to kind of explain all this, and we'll bring in details.
He'll make a statement as soon as they tell him what to say. Still ahead, we're going to talk about Fahrenheit 9/11, the box office records broken for documentaries. And up next, A Dream Diary right here on Air America.
If you're not outraged, you're not paying attention.
Have you ever walked by someone and laughed at their T-shirt? Or saw a bumper sticker that were your exact thoughts?
Well-behaved women seldom make history.
Did you wish you could get one like it? Do you want to find a way to express your political views for all to see? Well, you can. For 25 years, Northern Sun Merchandising has been supplying humorous and politically conscious products, including bumper stickers, posters, buttons, and of course, T-shirts.
One nation, under surveillance.
So express yourself with Northern Sun Merchandising at www.northernsun.com or call 800-258-8579 for a catalog.
God bless the whole world. No exceptions.
Often humorous, never dull at Northern Sun. That's 800-258-8579 for a catalog or visit northernsun.com.
And remember, regime change begins at home.
Good afternoon, sir. Is this your first visit to the Museum of Television and Radio?
Unfortunately not. I breezed through here last Thursday, and frankly, I was baffled.
How so?
Well, it's like no museum I've ever been to. None of the great masters are represented.
Well, I can't agree with you there, sir. Hitchcock, Gleason, Cosby, Lucy, Cronkite.
But the whole atmosphere, complete lack of stuffiness. Just ordinary people sitting at private monitors watching television and listening to radio programs.
Yeah, we have over 100,000 programs going back to the early days of broadcasting right up to the present.
But they were enjoying themselves, some laughing out loud, some weeping out loud.
Having a good time.
Precisely. It's a museum. Where are your velvet ropes, your stifled yawns?
It's not that kind of museum.
Well, I should say no.
I'm sorry you didn't have fun.
I did, but I don't go to a museum to have fun.
Where do you go?
Well, from now on, I'm coming here, but that's not the point. You really ought to work on your stuffiness, you know.
You think so?
Yes, you should have thrown me out 5 minutes ago.
The Museum of Television and Radio, with locations in New York and Los Angeles. For more information in New York, call 212-621-6600 or visit us on the web at www.mtr.org.
Do nasal allergies hit you where it hurts most? Your wallet?
Yeah.
Then ask your doctor about Flonase, fluticasone propionate nasal spray, 50 micrograms. Flonase has the lowest average copay of any leading prescription nasal allergy brand in the nation. And now you could save up to $60 a year through the Allergy Rewards Program. Call 1-800-FLONASE or visit Flonase.com to learn more. Only Flonase is approved to treat nasal symptoms from indoor and outdoor allergies, as well as year-round non-allergic nasal symptoms that can feel like allergies. All prescription products are not approved to treat the same symptoms. Only your doctor can decide what treatment option is best for you. For best results, use daily. Maximum relief may take several days and results may vary. Side effects are generally mild and may include headache, nosebleed, or sore throat. See our ad in Fitness Magazine. Call 1-800-FLONASE or ask your doctor or pharmacist about the medicine that's tough on nasal allergies.
Mm-hmm.
Easy on your wallet. All it takes is FLONASE. Allergy Rewards Program subject to eligibility.
Welcome to the jungle, baby. It's 17 past the hour. I'm Mark Maron with Mark Riley here on Morning Sedition on Air America Radio. Just got a call from a member of MoveOn.org. Apparently, the submission of the in the contest, the commercial contest, making the commercial contest with the Hitler stuff in it, was not even on the website. It was on a link where people could go look at the submissions, from what I understand. Right now, we've got, my therapist, of course, asked me to write down my dreams, and this was the one from last night, so here we go. Let's try and make it through my little scribblings. I'm in some concrete bunker strapped to a metal chair. In the distance, I hear screams and infomercials. The door opens and slams. I hear two pairs of footsteps approaching. Sweat pours down my forehead. The first voice, calm yet full of menace, says, "Mr. Maron, we're going to cure you of your pessimism and rage." The second says, "We're not letting the Democrats bring down this great country with your bad attitudes." They spin me around. It's 2 8-year-old girls in matching pink sweaters. They smile and their teeth are covered with blood. I start to scream as they attach sensors to my eyeballs. "Get ready to feel better," one of them says. And then the images start flowing directly into my brain. I see adorable bunnies and baby chicks and 4th of July parades and watermelon eating contests and Shirley Temple tap dancing with Bojangles and the smooth, clean taste of Budweiser, the king of beers, and children of all colors playing under a sprinkler and a bald eagle soaring over the Grand Canyon singing a country song and Flipper, yes, it's Flipper, laughing his hideous dolphin laugh, and Bush in a flight suit laughing his hideous dolphin laugh, and misty-eyed veterans saluting the flag, and Ricky Martin living La Vida Loca, and one-legged marathon runners, and Cosby selling us the best pudding in the world, and old people holding hands on a porch swing, and Reagan smiling his ass off in that stupid cowboy hat. That one nearly killed me. The twins stopped the images and stood in front of me, terrified. I say, "Look, I'm smiling. 4 more years. USA, USA, USA. They look at each other and say, at the same time, "Not good enough." And then they begin to eat me alive, starting with my pancreas. I woke up and my bed was filled with lentils. Lentils, what does that mean? So anyways,
legumes.
All that. Look, buddy, I'm going to rewrite the opening of our newscast. In an effort to undermine the publicity of Fahrenheit 9/11, the Coalition Provisional Authority has handed Iraq over to Iraq's interim government and puppet president 2 days early. All the rich Americans in the suits are leaving. All the poor Americans in the uniforms are staying. Extremely conditional sovereignty begins. Man, that movie, let's talk about it, boy.
Yep.
It broke the records.
21.8 mil.
21 in 868 cities, which is mind-boggling.
Beat the Wayans brothers.
Yeah, 868 movie theaters.
Yep.
Yes.
$25,115 average per screen.
You know, and in the film, you know, which I saw on Friday morning, apparently my producer, like, I'm like, I saw the first showing in New York. And, of course, you know, Buzzkill Larson comes up.
No, you didn't.
It goes, you know, they had a midnight showing. And he kind of walked off. You know what I mean?
Is he our personal? Is he the morning edition Dick Cheney this week or something?
No, he's
not that bad.
We're talking about our producer Jonathan Larson, who just said in my ear, "Hey, who is he? Nobody knows." I'll tell you who he is. He's the emperor, the wizard, the extreme genius of morning edition.
That's
the chess hall bouncer, as
That's
I call
right.
him. our board guy Chris said one day, "It's like, what is Jonathan like, a bouncer?" I'm like, "Yeah, a bouncer of a chess hall." I'm kidding, man. He's doing a great job. And look, but the movie, what I was going to say was, as I said in my rewritten intro, is that there's a whole section in the movie where he really addresses, you know, why and how the military is sort of fueled by people who are of a lower economic status and, you know, poor people, basically.
Working people.
And, you know, and he really covers these two elements pretty well, you know, one being just that they want to be trained and get skills to get into college or find some skills so they can get jobs, or some of them come from a legacy of military families where the sort of indoctrination of, like, you know, military commitment is so deep that they see it as their, you know, their patriotic purpose no matter what without questioning it. And a lot of that is starting to sort of shatter a little.
Well, yeah, but, you know, my grandfather served, my father served, I should serve. It's part of what, and there are people that believe this, that it is part of their duty as American citizens to serve in the United States military. However, you flip that on the other side and you see, for example, that Jessica Lynch and Lindy England both went into the service for essentially the same reason. They wanted to get educated. They wanted to get those dollars for college. They wanted to try and better themselves. And that's what a lot of these kids that go into the service are not thinking about fighting anybody.
Well, clearly for Lynch, it paid off.
Yeah, but in fairness to Jessica Lynch, it paid off with a lot of pain. I mean, you know, I saw her leg in, what was it, a Newsday or Time magazine where she got, you know, where she really got hurt.
Yeah,
so on that level, you know, she paid a very, very deep price for, you know, for wanting to get educated. But I think that on a certain level, we need to be clear about the fact that these kids are not going in there because they want to, you know, make Iraqi prisoners bark like dogs.
It's hard to sell this sort of the kind of, you know, patriotic duty element other than, like, in the basis of, like, well, we went there originally, which was because it was presented to us that Iraq was a threat. They had weapons of mass destruction. It was an immediate threat to the security of this country. They were hiding terrorists, which most of it, almost all of it, turns out to be untrue.
Yeah.
So a lot of the questions around, you know, why are we there? You know, becomes, you know, a lot of soldiers are asking themselves that. And in the movie, a woman who lost her son in the conflict asks herself those questions and takes some action around that. It's fairly, you know, very moving part of the film. But, you know, I found the film to be very, you know, exciting. And like I was saying earlier, in the theater, people were actually applauding and getting excited. I find that very moving when people get engaged because, not unlike the beginning of Air America, there are people out in the world who feel like they haven't been spoken for or to in years. And there's a certain amount of relief and catharsis that comes from that. You got an email there?
Well, yeah. And it speaks to exactly what you just finished saying. This is an email from Lost in Wonder,
yeah.
I believe. Yeah. I went to a show of Fahrenheit 9/11 in conservative Akron, Ohio this weekend, and it was jam-packed. The usher had to seat the last few people in the few single seats left. It played in three theaters in the Akron area. In fact, the movie theater I went to had boycotted Bowling for Columbine because they didn't want to support an anti-gun message. Michael Moore appeared at the College of Worcester in October 2003, and he filled the basketball court all the way up to the rafters, and the entire floor of the court, an estimated 5,800 people, were squeezed in. His message that day was essentially that we are not alone, we are the majority, and we shouldn't let the right tell us differently.
Beautiful. And it looks like I got a call. Hey, Chris, can I take this call on Glenn? in Long Island. How are you, buddy?
So hey,
you're sort of supporting my idea that the handover. What do you think?
Well, I'm definitely supporting your idea. After watching the news, after seeing the film and the audience reaction, and then watching the news last night, Fahrenheit 9/11 was basically moving up the headlines with a bullet.
Yeah.
It was destined to be, and I usually gauge things by the opening of the Today Show.
Yes.
Because that's a kind of a good barometer. It was destined to be the opening of the Today Show this morning, and it had been eclipsed. And
oh, I think right.
I think that was the reason for moving the transfer up.
Well, that's it. I think it's definitely part of it, and I believe you 100%. Thanks for calling, Glenn. We got Joe in Las Vegas about propaganda. What's on your mind, Joe?
Hi. I was at that theater where that move-on incident happened.
Oh, let me explain that to the people who might not know this, because we didn't really talk about it, that someone came out of the theater, move-on was handing out flyers, and someone made a comment about the movie. It didn't even seem to be a negative comment, and was...
allegedly spat upon.
Right.
And then it got... It escalated to physical violence.
When he called the police. And what do you got to say about that, Joe?
Oh, he was just a crank, and he was just basically mocking move-on members for organizing a town meeting associated with the film that is going on Monday night all across the country.
Right.
With Michael Moore on a conference call.
Right. Oh, so yeah. What did the guy say exactly? Do you know?
I don't know, but again, he was allegedly spit on.
Right.
It was merely a crank.
Oh, so you're just saying the guy was just a sour grapes guy, just wanted to ruin everyone's party.
Exactly.
Thanks for calling, Joe. Appreciate it. So, look at this. This is another call. We didn't even ask for people to call, and they're calling. I love
that.
Mark, how are you, buddy?
Hey, Mark.
Yeah, I'm calling you from Switzerland.
Oh, great.
Ah, welcome in.
Thank you. Listening to you on the web, just to let you know that Democrats abroad will be getting in on the act. They have a special screening of Michael Moore's film next Tuesday, July 6th, at 7:30 p.m. in Geneva, and that's for all Democrats abroad.
Okay, well, I'm going to try and make that. I don't know if I can, but thanks for calling. If anyone is listening out there, July 6th for all Democrats abroad in Geneva, they are screening the film. Or did he say all over Europe? Did I just miss something?
I think, well, you know, in Switzerland, people can probably get there fairly easily. So if folks want to come see it, if folks don't have access to it where they live, they
go
probably...
Go to Switzerland.
Yeah, go to Switzerland and check it out.
Thanks for calling. Yeah, it's just amazing how this is rallying people. And the only criticism, as I said earlier, was that the right and Christopher Hitchens is criticizing Moore for not being morally sound in his ethical foundation, his point of view, but they can't deny the facts. All they can say is the way that Moore organized them may have had an agenda, and Moore says, of course they have an agenda. You know how I feel. You know who I am. You know whose side I'm on. You know the truth I'm trying to put out there and what I'm trying to reflect about this president. It is a point of view that is necessary. Obviously, we believe in it here, and I think that, for them to accuse anybody of being propagandistic is like so hypocritical and retarded. Oh, I said I wasn't going to.
Oh, yeah, you said you weren't going to. Come on now.
So hypocritical and stupid.
Well, yeah, I don't understand. There have been dozens of movies, dozens of fictional movies that have had a political point of view. Invasion of the Body Snatchers, the original that was made in the mid-50s, was made to talk against communism. Everybody knew that. Was there something wrong with that?
I think it's beautiful. I think it's a great thing that the public dialogue of this country has, if information that gets out there through the media, promotes people to start talking and having an aggressive dialogue, in terms of dissent in this country, I think it's a great thing.
Clint Eastwood, all right, all of those Clint Eastwood movies, Magnum Force, Dirty Harry, all of that stuff, they didn't have a political point of view? Come on.
Yeah.
It's nuts. There are always going to be
the remake of Manchurian Candidate.
Absolutely. Starring Denzel. Still to come, the countdown to democracy isn't going away just because Paul Bremer has, plus New York Times reporter Todd Purdom and more here on Air America Radio.
Who is it?
Special delivery.
Who?
Pizza Man.
Hey, you're not the Pizza Man. You're the cable guy again.
Price Patrol.
No, you're not. I can see your van. You're the cable company. I'm not going to let you raise my rates again.
I'm calling American Satellite to get a DirecTV system.
Presidential candidate.
Are you going to offer me over 125 digital quality channels for as little as $39.99 a month, including my local channels?
Ice cream, man.
Yeah, like that's going to work. If I call American Satellite right now, I can get a four-room DirecTV system, including professional installation free. Can you beat that?
Pizza man.
You already tried that. Well, that's it. I'm calling to get my DirecTV system.
Call 800-264-0071. That's 800-264-0071 for new customers only. Annual programming commitment required. Ask how you can get your first 6 months for only $29.99 a month, a $60 value. Offer ends July 17th. Call now, 800-264-0071.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. It's a done deal in Iraq this morning. A long-awaited transfer of power occurred in a surprise move by the Bush administration. Still too early to gauge reaction to the transfer in Iraq, but several dangerous developments still exist, including the kidnapping of several people, among them an American soldier. New interim government had to agree to a series of rules before the actual transfer. Those rules issued by coalition governor L. Paul Bremer basically tells the new government that it must abide by American law. 40,000 turned out in Turkey not to greet President Bush over the weekend, but to condemn his actions in Iraq. Bush met with NATO leaders in a bid to get their support in training Iraqi forces. And Fahrenheit 9/11 captures the tension of the movie-going public over the weekend, beating out any previous records held for documentaries. Michael Moore is going to the bank this morning. Wayne Gilman, Air America Radio News.
Federal college loan rates are currently lower than they have ever been, which means by refinancing now, you could cut your monthly student loan payment by up to 50%. By calling 1-800-2-COLLEGE, you'll quickly be connected to College Loan Corporation. We will answer your questions, help you lower your payments, and secure a rate as low as 2.63%. It's easy, it's free, and so far, over 300,000 people have called. 1-800-2-COLLEGE. It's the smartest call you can make.
Having trouble sleeping? Then listen to the experts. Over 25,000 doctors, chiropractors, and sleep clinics worldwide recommend the biggest breakthrough in better sleep, the Tempur-Pedic Swedish mattress. Call now for your free mattress sample at 1-800-611-9977. The Tempur-Pedic mattress works like no conventional mattress can. Its high-tech material contours to your body, relieving the pressure points that make you toss and turn. It erases aches and pains, even for people with back troubles. In fact, 92% of owners surveyed say their Tempur-Pedic bed is far superior to their old innerspring mattress, air, or water bed. Judge for yourself. Call 1-800-611-9977 for a free sample of the Tempur-Pedic mattress material. You'll also get a free better sleep video and a 90-day trial offer guarantee. Want to sleep better? Listen to the experts and call Tempur-Pedic now. 1-800-611-9977. That's 1-800-611-9977.
Hi, this is Al Franken.
Monday on the Al Franken Factor, it's Ladies' Day. That's right. All ladies will be admitted free to a special edition of our show that will tackle a host of ladies' issues. We'll ask the age-old question, what do women want? But this time we'll also answer it. Women want John Kerry. Or if they don't, they should. Governor Ann Richards will be part of our sewing circle. So join us, won't you? We'll leave the seat down for you.
Past the hour. Good morning. Mark Maron here. Mark Riley here.
Hey.
Morning Sedition, Air America Radio. On the phone is the New York Times Washington correspondent. His book, A Time of Our Choosing, America's War with Iraq, came out last year. His show, Political Dish, premieres on Tuesday, 9 o'clock on the Discovery Channel. Todd Purdom is here. How are you, Todd?
Fine, thanks. Good morning, guys.
Good morning. Hey,
good morning. So, dude, 2 days early. What's that all about? The handover.
I don't know. I have to say, you know, I'm hearing it first on Air America.
Oh, really?
But not that early, and I wish I could explain it. But, you know, the Bush administration throughout this endeavor in Iraq has liked to surprise people. President Bush with his visit to Baghdad at Thanksgiving. So maybe they figure instead of let the prophets of gloom and doom predict the trouble, do it 2 or 3 days early and just Gila March.
But don't they have a lot of things to do?
I mean, they do. And whether the transfer was June 30th or July 15th or, you know, August 23rd,
yeah,
there's a lot to still do, and a lot remains to be resolved. And as we know, there's going to be a large continuing American troop presence in Iraq, and it's going to be the largest American embassy anywhere in the world.
So it's an extremely conditional sovereign state.
I'm not sure that's how the Bush administration would put it, but I think that's the reality.
Yeah. So now, what about the NATO, offer to train? Is it my understanding that France said they would do that, but they didn't say that to the American administration? They said that to the interim government?
Well, it could be because, France would much rather have a dealing, I'm sure, on the world stage and bilaterally with the new Iraqis,
right,
than they would with us. So it's diplomatic niceties probably are abounding this week in all kinds of that wouldn't surprise me.
Mm-hmm. Now, there seems to be an issue, Todd Purdom, about whether or not people who are going to be working in Iraq from some of these NATO countries are training Iraqis, I guess, either inside or outside Iraq. I mean, would that be a deal breaker from where you sit if the U.S., for example, insisted that the people be trained inside the country?
I don't know that it would necessarily be a deal breaker if people had to be trained inside the country, but the problem is, trying to get a workable security force, trying to get a workable Iraqi military, we've had really difficulty in doing that so far with some of the, in the case of the American military, the best trained, best equipped military in the world. So if we want to make sure that the security situation is stable, I'm sure the Americans are going to be vested in having some sense of, controlling how the training goes. And so if the training happens in Iraq, they'd have more possible supervision of it. But I think at this point, we have to be welcoming about any help that comes.
Mm-hmm. Todd Purdom, correspondent for the New York Times Washington Bureau. When you get inside the Beltway, maybe you're already inside the Beltway, but when you get in there later today, how do you think official Washington is going to react? I'm assuming most people inside the Beltway didn't know this transfer was going to happen 2 days early. How do you think they're going to react to it from their gut?
Well, I think there's going to be, the truth is people in Washington are pretty savvy about this kind of thing, and they'll be surprised, and they'll be the usual, I wonder why this happened kind of feeling. But I think most people realize what you guys said at the beginning, which is this is a limited kind of thing. It's not as if America's role is over. It's not as if we're not still very solid. We're higher than ever in a way. So I think most people will think now a whole new phase begins. But, this is the beginning of something new. It's not the end of something.
So you're saying, if I'm understanding correctly, that as we've speculated here before, that this is sort of a symbolic gesture. It's a press opportunity. It's Bush sort of washing his hands of it. Do you think that the press will remain responsible and continue to give us dispatches from Iraq?
Oh, I absolutely think so. I mean, I don't think there are any plans for major reserves to diminish their coverage in some way. Story is just going to get more interesting as the Iraqis themselves try to. I mean, it's more than a PR gesture. I mean, it is now the legal, that they're representing themselves in the world, and the first time some big problem happens, it'll be fascinating to see how heavy-handed the United States feels it could be, because if we can't really behave in the same way we did when we were the occupying authority. So yeah, I think everyone knows that, and I think the most interesting months in Iraq are still to come, and I don't think the media will in any way diminish it.
Oh, good, good. Well, I just wanted to hear you say that. So tell us a little bit about your show.
Well, it premieres tomorrow night on Discovery Times Channel, which is a joint venture of the Times and Discovery Communications, and it's called Political Dish. It's at 9 o'clock Eastern, and the idea is kind of like Meet the Press with booze, basically. It's
Meet the Press with food? Okay.
With food and booze. And we sit around and eat a meal and drink some good wine and talk, in this case tomorrow night, about money in politics. It follows a documentary called Follow the Money, which is about power and influence of money in politics. And our discussion is an hour long. And we basically get some experts, campaign managers, fundraisers, Congressman Marty Meehan of Massachusetts, who knows a lot about campaign finance, to sit around and talk about some of the realities of how hard it is to raise money, the kind of compromises you have to make
and
to do it.
And so each week you're going to have different guests in.
It's not going to be weekly, but it's going to be periodic throughout this political season. Yeah, we're going to have different guests. We're going to do a show on the media.
You're going to bring experts in, get them drunk, feed them, and try and get to the bottom
of
stuff.
More or less the idea, yeah, or at least get them tipsy.
Terrific. Well, good luck with the show, Todd. Todd Purdom, New York Times Washington correspondent, joining us Those are pretty informative.
Yeah.
I don't know why I ask questions like that sometimes. Like, will the press still be covering this? Yeah, like, what kind of questions? I just get scared that...
It's a legitimate question. When the main networks turn the lights down, everybody does.
Right, so we'll be back with Cheney's Dirty Mouth, the countdown to democracy, and all kinds of other fun stuff on Air America.
Whether it's fair or not, people judge you by the words you use. In business and socially, your vocabulary and language skills tell everyone about your background, education, even your intelligence. That's why you need Verbal Advantage. While you listen, Verbal Advantage will give you the confidence that comes with a strong command of the English language. No more fumbling for the right word. No more embarrassment at how to express yourself. No more fear of using the wrong word. And it's so easy. To learn, you simply listen. When you want. Where you want. See why over 100,000 people have already gotten the verbal advantage they need for success.
To learn more about verbal advantage, call now. 1-800-603-WORD. That's 603-WORD. 1-800-603-WORD.
Gary Boland, COVID technician on reality television.
Oh, you mean the news?
On global warming.
I love summer.
And on business broadband.
I'm glad you asked. You know, the key to choosing broadband is the same as any business decision. It's value. At COVID, you get broadband built for business for less than the local phone company's repackaged residential plans. In fact, your business could save hundreds of dollars a year with COVID. Plus, with the security of SDSL dedicated lines and 99.9% uptime guaranteed, you can relax, knowing your business isn't going to hit a brick wall. Now, I could go on.
Gary Boland on astrology.
Well, I've always wanted to go to space.
Business broadband. COVID knows it like nobody else. To get broadband billed for business, call 1-800-555-0454. Plus, get a free router after mail-in rebate through June 30th, 2004, when your business signs up at 1-800-555-0454 or gocovid.com. See website for guarantee details and availability. Saving based on published rates, March 10th, 2004.
When I started this company, our mission was to be the most useful and most ethical provider in the financial services business.
Charles Schwab, founder and chairman of the Charles Schwab Corporation.
When you're dealing with people's money, when you're dealing with their financial dreams, you've got to hold it with the greatest of care.
With industry-leading equity research, trusted investment professionals, and personalized advice, Charles Schwab offers investors a better choice when it comes to low-cost investing.
It's about service. It's about best value. It's about ethics. It's all those things. That's what we're about every day.
Join the more than 3 million investors at Charles Schwab and enjoy lower trading costs plus advice and unparalleled service. Call 1-800-7-SCHWAB or stop by your local Schwab branch today.
Some benefits, including advice and certain equity research, available for a fee only through one or more Schwab Personal Choice or other fee-based services. New trading commissions effective 6/21/04. Charles Schwab & Co., Inc., member SIPC and NYSE.
Past the hour. Mark Maron here with Mark Riley on Morning Sedition, Air America Radio.
Hey!
Hey! Now time for our countdown to democracy. As the deadline for handover of power to the Iraqis approaches, we'd like to explore various issues and opportunities the Iraqis and Americans will face. Leaders of Iraq. Yes. All right. You've still got 2 whole days to work out all those last-minute details before taking sovereignty of your brand-new democracy. Wait, hold on a minute. We're getting something here. Wow. It turns out that countdown to democracy is over. 2 days early. Wow. Welcome to Iraq. Birth of a nation, day one. First, congratulations. Yes, there's no reason why you shouldn't celebrate. Right? No, I understand. You are now officially the puppet state of a major paranoid superpower. How does it feel? Yeah, I know. Yeah, I feel the same way. Now, I realize you've got high hopes, and given the way America's handled the occupation, so far, why wouldn't you? All right, just be careful you don't expect too much too soon. There may be a little glitches from time to time. Minor stuff like food, shelter, terrorism, a working economy, and the threat of civil war. But the important thing is now you're free to experience all those things. And let me tell you, it's quite a ride. So, good luck, and God bless. Remember, today is the first day of the rest of your democracy. Okay, so... something you will enjoy for as long as we let you. This is day one in Birth of a Nation. Live free or die. Wow. Shifted midway.
Midway.
I had to change the tone. But you know what? You know what I got to say? Dick Cheney. That's all I got to say. That guy's a er. You know what I mean? I mean, how could he just run around the Congress, you know, saying and you know, you.
Mm-hmm.
But I guess they're getting behind him.
Well, Bill Frist, majority leader of the United States Senate, of which, by the way, Dick Cheney is president pro tempore, whatever the heck that means.
It means he's the main guy. He's the guy. He's the teacher at the head of the class in the Senate, and he's running around saying,
he
you know,
to break ties.
You to our boy Patrick Leahy.
To Patrick Leahy, friend of the room, by the way. But see, now, this is what's so disingenuous about some Republicans.
Yes.
All right. In particular, Senator Bill Frist, majority leader.
Hate that guy.
Well, I mean, here's a guy, you know, he's from Tennessee. Not that that makes all that much of a difference, but, you know, they kind of don't take kindly to people cursing out in public too much.
Can I ask you a question, though? Does it not look like Bill Frist was a wuss his entire life? Doesn't that guy look like he was born a wuss? I mean, it's just like, maybe I'm judging a guy no, I am judging him based on his appearance and the things he's said, that he's a lapdog wussy.
I don't know, man. You know, if he was inside your mouth pulling a tooth without anesthesia, you might speak differently about old Bill Frist.
Is that going to happen?
I don't know. did he put his dental holdings in trust like Cheney did with Halliburton? I don't know.
Is he a dentist? Isn't he a pediatrician? What is he?
I thought he was a dentist.
Is he a doctor at all? He is, right?
Yeah, he is a doctor. Dr. Bill.
Maybe an internist. So you were saying that these moralizing pugs.
Geek boys.
Yeah.
Now Frist says, look. You know, Dick Cheney said what he said, and it can be attributed to political passions aroused by the election year. Well, gee, John Kerry said the F word.
Yeah, and the White House reaction was, that's beneath John Kerry. I'm very disappointed that he would use that kind of language. I'm hoping that he's apologizing, at least to himself. And the White House said they'll sign off on Frist's statement, which is that the White House agrees with Bill Frist that, hey, passions are kind of high, you know, and, you know, I think ultimately that Cheney had every right to say what he had to say, and if you don't like it, you.
Yeah, right.
Isn't that basically what he was saying? That, you know, Frist is like
allowing. He is not a dentist. He is a cardiac surgeon. So if he's massaging your heart instead of going in your mouth.
No wonder he's saying it's okay for Cheney to say that. You know, he's probably the guy that Cheney has to call in every day to go, just check it. Check my ticker.
Yeah, right.
How is it going? Is it still filled with worms and devils?
Left ventricle. I don't know. But you know what? This is typical, in my judgment, of the kind of hypocrisy we see coming out of the GOP. Look, the bottom line is people curse, okay? Yeah. I do it, you do it, we all do it. You know, we live in New York or whatever, but, you know, we do it every now and then, okay?
Speak for yourself. I don't even curse.
Right? But, I mean, he could be forgiven cursing if it weren't for the fact that he represents a party that wants to tell everybody how to live their lives, including not cursing.
Yeah, and you know what? This is the same party that that's pushing the FCC to crack down on people like us in our job, like Howard Stern, like people on television for cursing or for showing, you know, any sexually motivated stuff. They're not uncomfortable with violence, but the sexuality and the cursing they're uptight with. And if this doesn't apply to the Senate floor, I would have to say that they're hypocrites. So I suggest maybe call Michael Powell, the chairman of the FCC, at 202-418-1000, and just tell him that maybe he should find Cheney for cursing on the Senate floor, and then for having these Republican douchebags, you know, allow them to do it and not apologize for it. Like, look, I don't care about cursing. I really don't. And certainly, if anyone's going to curse, it's going to be Cheney. You know, cursing is the least that guy does. He actually said that he felt better after cursing at Leahy. Well, who doesn't feel better? I feel better right now. Hey, you know what? You, Cheney. I feel great. Look at this. You're like, you, George Bush. I feel great. This is making, you know what? everybody. That's all I'm saying. I mean, why wouldn't that make you feel good? It's a sort of like a, it's an act of freedom. But look, to say it in the Senate floor and then to be hypocritical about it and have your FCC, you know, sicked on all these other, you know, people for cursing and drawing regulation on it. You know what? I just say, you.
All of them. Well, you know, the thing I find amazing is that Cheney would not confirm using that actual word.
Why wouldn't he?
I don't know. But he was talking to Neil Cavuto the other day, I think.
Yeah.
And he essentially said, that's not the kind of language I usually use. But then he said...
then he said, you can go yourself.
Yep. He was asked if he cursed it. Like, he said, probably. Did he have any regrets? No, I said it.
Yeah.
Well, what did
I
you say, it. Pal?
I said you know? It, you... You want a piece of me?
Yeah, right. Why don't we put Leahy and Cheney in a squared circle? Perhaps the next WWE extravaganza.
Oh, that'd be amazing. Wouldn't that be amazing if politics worked that way?
I'd love it. I'd buy tickets,
Patrick,
I'll tell you.
Leahy taking a couple pops at the old... Isn't he, what was it? Cheney was a wrestler, isn't that why? Oh, no, that was somebody else.
Oh,
I'm
yeah.
a pastor. Hey, all right, here we go. Where are we going? We'll be back. We've got... we got the Monday job listings. Very important if you're looking for work. And much more fun stuff. And the reaction to Fahrenheit 9/11 all
yeah.
coming up after this on Air America Radio.
Do you know that 7 companies decide the films you get to see? As a result, fewer and fewer truly groundbreaking films are being released. So you, as a moviegoer, have less access to anything other than the standard Hollywood fare. Hi, I'm Larry Meistert, founder of Film Movement, and producer of films such as Sling Blade and You Can Count on Me. Film Movement is a true grassroots movement of film fans who want greater access to alternative voices in film. Each month, subscribers to Film Movement receive an award-winning independent film to own on DVD, directly from top film festivals such as Cannes and Sundance. Subscribe to Film Movement through Air America at airamericaradio.com in June and receive a free copy of The Party's Over, a critically acclaimed documentary narrated by Philip Seymour Hoffman about the state of democracy in America. Everyone deserves access to the best new releases. These films deserve to be seen. Help us support independent thinking by joining Film Movement or giving Film Movement as a gift for Father's Day or graduation. Subscribe today at airamericaradio.com.
Students and graduates, listen up. You could cut your student loan payments by more than half. That's right, more than half with the federal government's free student loan consolidation program available from Next Student. Every day, thousands take advantage of this money-saving program, and now you, too, can cut your federal student loan payments by more than half. Call 1-800-430-NEXT, and Next Student will help you refinance your college loans and lock in on historically low federal interest rates. Right now, you could be paying twice as much as everyone else. Take advantage of this free program. It's easy to apply. There's no credit check, no out-of-pocket expenses, and in as little as 5 minutes, you can find out if you're eligible for this money-saving program. You could cut your student loan payments by more than half. Take advantage of this program, and you'll have loads of extra cash in your pocket. Call 1-800-430-NEXT. It's easy, it's quick, and it's free. But you gotta act now. Call Next Student today at 1-800-430-NEXT. That's 1-800-430-NEXT.
If you want to do more with your home improvement project and with your budget, you can. The Home Depot can show you how. If you want to know more and know you're getting the lowest price every day, you can. Others try to get by on just a promise, but the Home Depot comes through time after time. It's how we were built, with a solid history and pure passion for bringing you the lowest possible prices on everything from washers and bolts to washers and dryers. When you buy as much as we do, you can afford to sell for less. That's the power of buying power. Simple stuff, just like our 10% price guarantee. If you ever find a lower price somewhere else, the Home Depot will beat it by 10%. Plus, if you want to get special finance offers that let you buy now and pay later, you can. Just ask an associate for details. If you want to pull it all together and know you're making your dollars and your dreams go farther, you can. The Home Depot. You can do it. We can help.
Hey, you guys. Good morning. It's Mark Maron here with Mark Riley on Morning Sedition. You're listening to Air America Radio. It's now time for our help wanted for June 28, 2004. We know a lot of people out there are out of work and spent your Sunday leafing through the want ads or monster.com, and we want to help. We want to help be part of the solution, not part of the problem. So here are our morning sedition Monday job listings. Immediate opening, Illinois Republican Party, seeking erection-free candidate for U.S. Senate. Must have at least 5 years public service experience, but no public sex experience. Position involves meeting voters, backing party platform, and not having sex. Or talking about sex, or thinking about sex. No sex. Get it? While the candidate should be married, his wife can be Republican hot, but definitely not show business Jerry Ryan super hot, for God's sake. This is a deal breaker. Gay candidates need not apply. Here is another listing for a position wanted. Former head of Coalition Provisional Authority in Middle Eastern Dictatorship seeks position during temporary job layoff. Extensive danger zone experience in volatile Islamic hotspots protecting corporate interests. Willing to relocate to Syria. Impressive resume. Great references. Ask for Paul. So there's our help wanted. You know what? Those are fun. I enjoy that.
Yeah.
And now we're talking about Fahrenheit 9/11. The reaction has been overwhelming, $21 million plus at the box office this weekend and a fairly small amount of screens.
868 screens.
Mind-blowing. And now there's a reaction from the right who are trying to sort of put a team together. What is that you got there, Mark?
Well, they're trying to glom onto the popularity of Fahrenheit 9/11. It appears as though now there is a film festival, not just one film, but a film festival that is going to be dedicated to debunking Michael Moore. Now, I got to tell you, if you as a documentarian have not just one film, but a film festival dedicated to undermining your work, you have arrived.
It's hilarious to me. Like, what are they going to do? So, is it that easy to make a movie? They're going to go out there with their DV, their little cameras, and just start walking around and asking people, "Hey, do you hate Michael Moore? No. Do you hate Michael Moore? Yes. Right. Put that in the movie."
Well, this festival is scheduled from September 9th to 11th in Dallas. It's called the American Film Renaissance. It has been announced by co-founder Jim Hubbard, and it is bankrolled by some, quote, big-time conservative donors.
But they still got to make their stupid movies, don't they?
Well, yeah, there's one called Michael Moore Hates America. I guess these are already done.
Michael Moore Hates America.
Yeah, this was made by Michael Wilson, funded by Brian Cantmell, or Cartmell, who made a small fortune selling his internet domain registration company. The film was made for about $200,000. Features Penn Jillette and John Stossel. Remember, he was here. And it's looking for a theatrical and DVD distribution deal. Also coming is a film called Michael and Me. It was made by, alleged talk radio star Larry Elder, who's a black guy from the West Coast. It's a 90-minute documentary. It's actually made about Bowling for Columbine. It was made in response to Bowling for Columbine. So it's not going to have a whole lot about Fahrenheit 9/11.
I'm still hung up on the Penn Jillette thing. I didn't know Penn Jillette was on the other team.
Neither did I. But we did know that Larry Elder was on the other team. But Larry Elder, you described earlier people as being douchebags.
Yeah.
Larry Elder fits the category, in my humble opinion.
We got some feedback here, I think, from this someone on the phone who said that, hold on.
Oh. Can't say that, sorry. It's not right. The bull beep.
Yeah, we got it.
Here on TV. But here's my problem. CNN, Jeff Greenfield, supposed to be one of the middle-of-the-road people.
Yeah.
Immediately after 9/11, that night, he said that, there was a mistake in the film, actually, it was not Bush, but Richard Clark who authorized the release of the Saudi bin Ladens.
Richard Clark authorized the flights leaving this country, right.
But that's not true. I heard Richard Clark myself under oath say, no, he didn't authorize it, he knew about it and said that it happened, but he bumped it up the line of command to the FBI, and they asked, well, who authorized it? He said, I don't know.
Well, would it seem ultimately that the president's going to have to sign off on that? We had Craig Unger on, and I believe that, yeah, Richard Clark may have authorized the flights, but he couldn't have authorized anything without presidential approval.
Yeah.
Thanks for your call, Marty.
Now, I got to say, Mark, they can have these film festivals, and that's fine. I would prefer to see them actually try and make a movie that's better than Michael Moore's to counter Michael Moore, rather than boycotts, which I believe there's an organization called Move America Forward or whatever it's called, that started a boycott effort. Thank God it didn't work. $21.8 million says it did not work.
And they were trying to bully theater owners to not show it. They were trying. It's amazing when an opposing viewpoint comes out how these guys react.
In the next hour of Morning's Edition, when does a handover? Not quite a handover. Plus, Newsweek reporter Michael Isikoff on Iraq 9/11 and Michael Moore's new movie, all this and the presidential palm pilot coming up here on Air America Radio.
To the discriminating driver, a luxurious driving experience isn't an option as much as a requirement. That's why Goodyear developed the new Assurance, featuring Comfort Tread technology. Not only does this tire offer a distinct upscale appearance, it delivers a smooth, quiet, comfortable ride. Assurance, featuring Comfort Tread technology. It's the ultimate accessory for your luxury vehicle. For complete details and the retailer nearest you, call 1-800-GOODYEAR.
LendingTree.com presents 2 steps for controlling the home buying process. Step 1. Go to LendingTree.com and get up to 4 great mortgage offers within hours. Step 2. Stay at LendingTree.com and get up to 4 leading real estate agents within hours. So, to choose the mortgage and agent that's right for you, call 1-800-555-TREE or visit LendingTree.com. See website for details and state license disclosures. Equal housing opportunity. Some restrictions may apply.
You're listening to 1190 WLIB New York, the home of Air America Radio.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. The Bush administration pulled a fast one this morning, surprising the world with the immediate transfer of power to Iraq's new interim government. It had been slated to actually go down a couple of days from now on June 30th, but the administration fast-forwarded the events in a bid to thwart further violence and kidnappings believed to be aimed at disrupting the new government. Coalition's Governor L. Paul Bremer handed a series of legal documents over to the new government. Iraq's Foreign Minister Hashyar Zabari says the move this morning was symbolic.
We will be in charge, that we will run our country, we will be responsible, we will be accountable vis-a-vis our people, how we best be managed. We need a different Iraq from Saddam's Iraq.
Iraqi Foreign Minister Hashyar Zabari, before the transfer, the new government had to agree to a series of rules, basically demanding that the new government abide by the laws of the United States. The new government was installed just hours after the official transfer. Some of the directives executed by coalition Governor Bremer before he left the country includes a restriction of power for the new government. Among the most controversial orders is the enactment of an elections law that gives a 7-member commission the power to disqualify political parties and any of the candidates they support. Critics have been quick to condemn the coalition rules, saying the U.S. is already meddling in the new Iraqi government's affairs. Despite the latest developments in Iraq, the nation remains a scene of a killing field, and the lives of several men are in question. There were disturbances over the weekend between insurgent forces and the coalition in parts of the country, but the center of the concern right now are the lives of several men, 3 Turks, 1 Pakistani worker, and a U.S. Marine. All have been kidnapped by elements loyal to terrorist Abu Musab al-Zarqawi. The kidnappers are threatening to execute each unless a series of demands, including the release of Iraqi prisoners, are met. NATO leaders met over the weekend with an aim at mending fences over Iraq's war just before the transfer of power this morning. Transatlantic Alliance will hold up an agreement to train Iraqi security forces in a widening peacekeeping mission in Afghanistan. This is proof that it is now working together to tackle new security threats far from its own national borders. But the deal falls short of soldiers being on the ground to combat the insurgency, which the Bush administration had been hoping for. Plan was scotched by both France and Germany, and the agreement yesterday came after wrangling that echoed last year's pre-war conflict over boosting Iraq's neighbor Turkey's defenses. Former presidential candidate Howard Dean sounded like he was vindicated on Sunday when he noted that most Americans now agree that the United States should not have invaded Iraq. It was the position that fueled his campaign for the Democratic presidential nomination. At the same time, it earned him criticism. Dean told CNN over the weekend that he was castigated by Democrats and Republicans for a while, but now most Americans agree with him the war was a mistake. You're listening to Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman.
In order to succeed in the software business, you need to understand 2 things, software and business. And no one understands both of them better than Computer Associates. For almost three decades, CA has been a leader in innovative security, infrastructure, and storage software. But more importantly, we've always known what matters most for successful businesses. That's why we're committed to helping our clients maximize their resources by cutting costs, decreasing waste, and increasing ROI. To find out more, go to ca.com/radio today.
Hello from Athens, Greece, folks. Now, if you're a big sports fan like me, this is the place to be. They've got them all. Take fencing. My sword of choice is always the foil over the saber in F.A. You've got to see it. That's why Connell Lodge and Roadway Inn Hotels have created the Wake Up a Winner sweepstakes. You could win a trip to the big events in Athens. To enter, visit choicehotels.com, or every time you stay at a Connell Lodge and Roadway Inn Hotels this summer, you'll get a game piece with a chance to win hundreds of prizes and discounts off your next stay. Wake Up a Winner. To book, call 800-4-CHOICE or go to choicehotels.com. Well, I'm off to rhythmic gymnastics, where it always comes down to who nails the tightest ribbon snake. Choice Hotel. We'll see you there.
No purchase necessary. Open to legal U.S. residents 18 and older. Void where prohibited. Promotion runs June 7th through August 29th, 2004. For official rules and how to enter without purchase, visit choicehotels.com.
Good afternoon, sir. Is this your first visit to the Museum of Television and Radio?
Unfortunately not. I breezed through here last Thursday, and frankly, I was baffled.
How so?
Well, it's like no museum I've ever been to. None of the great masters are represented.
Well, I can't agree with you there, sir. Hitchcock, Gleason, Cosby, Lucy, Cronkite.
But the whole atmosphere, complete lack of stuffiness. Just ordinary people sitting at private monitors watching television and listening to radio programs.
Yeah, we have over 100,000 programs going back to the early days of broadcasting right up to the present.
But they were enjoying themselves, some laughing out loud. Some weeping out loud.
Having a good time.
Precisely. It's a museum. Where are your velvet ropes, your stifled yawns?
It's not that kind of museum.
Well, I should say not.
I'm sorry you didn't have fun.
I did, but I don't go to a museum to have fun.
Where do you go?
Well, from now on, I'm coming here, but that's not the point. You really ought to work on your stuffiness, you know.
I think so.
Yes, you should have thrown me out 5 minutes ago.
The Museum of Television and Radio, with locations in New York and Los Angeles. For more information in New York, call 212-621-6600 or visit us on the web at www.mtr.org.
Unfiltered.
Coming up on the next Unfiltered, we're talking about the FEC.
The Federal Elections Commission is considering banning advertising for Michael Moore's new film, Fahrenheit 9/11, on the grounds that it's political advertising that they can ban around the time of the election. What's up with that? We're going to be looking at the FEC political advertising rules and talking about Michael Moore's new film all Monday morning on Unfiltered.
On Air America Radio.
I'm Mark Maron. It's 6 past the hour here on Air America Radio, and this is Morning Sedition. Today, the Bush administration hands over power early, but only in Iraq and only in name. Also, Newsweek's Michael Isikoff will fact-check Fahrenheit 9/11 for us and tell us what Newsweek is reporting about the 9/11 panel today. Plus, Barbara Streisand hands over her liberal agenda for today. That's all coming up. Right now, I'm joined by Mark Riley.
Hey!
We've got some information about our partner, Sue Ellicott. She's going to be a reporter out in the field talking to you guys in the real world. She'll be in the battleground states this fall when the campaign is in full swing. She's going to be reporting for us and also for the rest of the network. She gets to do it. She likes to do best, and that's be a reporter. And we get to start act like a real network with actual correspondents out there. We can send to news events and all over the place. Her first reports are due in a week or so. She wrote us a cute email saying, "Guess who gets to sleep late?"
Yeah, right.
Yeah, well, yeah, okay. Well, as Dick Cheney would say, you for getting to sleep late. How's that, Greg? Dick Cheney, you know. Dick Cheney can say whatever the he wants to.
That's
you know,
right. Cause
he's a vice president. We had a caller earlier who said bull and...
Yes.
And we had to dump it, as they say in the biz. So let's try and set up the news properly for those people who are just tuning in. I'll set it up the way I will set it up, and then Mark, you can set it up the way you will set it up.
Well, you know what? We ought to make note of the fact that we clued Todd Purdom, reporter for the New York Times, heard about the transfer of power in Iraq from us. All right,
yeah.
Heard it first. yeah. on Air America Radio. Didn't hear it from the New York Times. Didn't pick up the Daily News. Didn't pick up the Washington Post.
Can I just do this? Hey, Dick Cheney, wake the up. Wake the up.
Thank you.
You bastard. I'm going to set up the news. In an effort to undermine the publicity of Fahrenheit 9/11, the Coalition Provisional Authority has handed Iraq over to Iraq's interim government and puppet president 2 days early. All the rich Americans in the suits are leaving. All the poor Americans in the uniforms are staying. And this extremely conditional sovereignty begins today. That's the way I would set it up. Because I think it's a big racket what they got going on there 2 days early to avoid, well, it could be to avoid a massive attack of explosions and violence and insurgency. Because they did it on the sly. They did it at 2:30 in the morning. They did it at a rented hall in an undisclosed location or something. Where did they do it? Do they have information where
I
they
did it? I don't know. I'm not sure where they did it. But here's the question.
A few people just Bremer with a clipboard and say, here, we sign here.
Yeah, right. Why do they think that there will be no other violence because they did it 2 days early? Do they think that these insurgents are like, well, okay, you handed over power. That's what we wanted. We'll disband. Is that what they think?
Hold on. We'll call out Sauder and all those people and the ex-Bathists and all the other,
and the Al-Qaeda's, and the foreign fighters and everybody else that's over there starting
They're
trouble.
Putting out a general, no terrorist press release. You guys, we've got the paperwork. Let's settle down a little bit. But they don't because there's 160,000 troops still there.
Foreign troops,
So and the only agreement that's been made outside of that they're passing laws. Where did I put that? Oh, yeah. They have the authority to do certain things, but they don't, like they said, it's weird. They told the provisional, the interim government, that, you can tell us when you want the troops out, but they've agreed not to tell them that.
Yeah, we're not going to tell, we're not going to say because we really need you.
And apparently the American government is telling them how to create sort of laws.
Well, first of all, they're telling them who's above the law, which is essentially anybody who ends up being an American seems to be above the law at this point. Certainly the contractors that are over in Iraq are considered to be above the law. Plus, and this is a little known thing that is a part of this whole handover of power, Mark.
Yeah.
The U.S., or at least the coalition, still has some veto power over who can run for elections when the elections do take place. Anybody that wants can do this.
That's a very interesting thing, because I wonder if that is not only conditional to the interim government, but do they have to check with the American administration? Do they have to check with Washington as to who they can allow to be in?
Yeah. The other thing is, because I'm a process person, mm-hmm. I want to know exactly what the nuts and bolts of all this was.
Yeah.
When did they decide that it was, 2 days early made sense or whatever? It looks like, according to the latest information we have, the early transfer had been under discussion between Alawi and the U.S. government for at least a week.
Yeah, but it's weird. It's the thing that's really upsetting on some level is that it doesn't matter when the turnover or the handover happens because it's fairly symbolic in that the sovereignty is definitely conditional. We still have all those troops there, and there's so many things that really haven't been done yet.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, they're having trouble. Like, I've got a list right here. Come up, things left on the list to do. Come up with a plan for Iraqi governance. That's partially completed. Replace assassinated government officials. That's going to be an ongoing process. Give the next 5 speeches and 6-part series of speeches on status of Iraq. That was Bush promising that, but we've only had one. Disarm militias. Not done. Arrest Muqtada al-Sadr and dismantle his organization. Not done. Train Iraqi defense forces. Having some trouble there. Training Iraqi police forces. Having some trouble there because these guys don't want to shoot their own. Find evidence of WMDs. That's way on a back burner in another room. Create jobs. Yeah, that's not going to be a problem. There's a job opening.
You're a hard man, Maris.
Hand Saddam Hussein and other former Iraqi officials over to Iraqi authorities. Finalize plans for January 2005 election. Establish a U.S. embassy. Now, they got Negroponte in there, who you might know from the old Iran-Contra days as the guy who oversaw the Honduran death squads. Well, now he's being put in as an ambassador to Iraq. The embassy hasn't been established yet, and I'm starting to think that one of the reasons they're letting those contractors off the hook and allowing them to be lawless is so Negroponte can use them how he wants to and have sort of privatized death squads.
Well, some of the things that, because Bremer, before he hopped on that C-130 and got out of Dodge, issued about 100 orders and regulations. Now, check this out, Mark, because this is interesting. For example, some of these laws govern bankruptcy. Some of these laws have restrictions on child labor and illegal copying of films, believe it or not.
Right, and just driver's licenses and driving rules. And you know what's weird about these laws, though, is that they are American, you know, style laws that they're putting into place, but the punishment are still the Shia codes. Yeah, you know, like, I don't know if you knew that. Like, you know, for talking in the movie theaters, your tongue will be cut out. If you have a taillight out on your car, they will take you out of the car and hook your genitals to the taillight wires.
Ooh.
Just to teach you a lesson. For illegal downloading, you get pushed down a flight of stairs. I wish I was making this stuff up, right? For selling Maxim and FHM magazine to minors, castration.
Ooh.
Yeah. For exceeding speed limit by 5 miles per hour, you will get dragged behind the car going 5 miles over the speed limit. And for public discharge of weapon, polite warning to turn barrel the other way.
Right.
For jaywalking, first offense, remove right leg. Second offense, remove left leg. That'll teach you. For cable theft, you will be whipped with cable.
Lord. Well, there are other ones, including that immunity for civilian contractors, which I think many Iraqis are not going to be real happy with. There's also a law that restricts candidates, as we mentioned, from running for office, banning parties with links to militias.
These are real ones.
These are real
ones.
Now, Muqtada al-Sadr seems to have chilled out just a little bit because the interim government kind of hinted to him that he could run for office.
Right. So, but doesn't it seem to me that if that's a law that you can't be linked to militias, that the next step to that, you know, to getting around that law would be to legitimize the militia? I mean, they could just do that theoretically. If Muqtada al-Sadr says, look, I'll play by the rules and everything's cool and you know, my people are going to cool down. Can we not be a militia anymore and just be a political party?
Well, I think he was maybe exploring some steps in that direction. There was, and correct me if I'm wrong on this, but I believe there was a call by al-Sadr for his people to kind of sort of lay down their arms for a little bit.
Right.
So it looks as though he was, in fact, prepared to actually, you know, get involved in the political process. But if he's defined, if his people are defined as a militia under Paul Bremer's law, he would not be eligible to run. Now, I can't imagine the Iraqis telling al-Sadr after he told his people to lay down their arms, after he said, I might run for office, or some of my people might, now saying, well, no, you can't.
Right.
Then what?
Well, then they're just going to get all worked up again, aren't they?
Yeah. And the real question to me is, where did Paul Bremer go? Because nobody's saying.
Yeah, I think he's looking for office space in Syria.
Yeah.
Hey, coming up after the break, Fahrenheit 9/11 breaks box office records. Republicans are angry. I saw it. Let's talk about it after this on Air America Radio.
You work hard, and you put in extra hours at the office, but you're not getting ahead in your career. Well, here's an idea. Maybe the best place to put in extra hours isn't at work. Instead, try earning your college degree via the Internet at University of Phoenix Online. A college degree continues to provide greater opportunity, responsibility, and reward. And by working just 15 to 20 hours a week at University of Phoenix Online, you can earn your degree in just 2 to 3 years. At University of Phoenix Online, we offer bachelor's and master's degree programs in business, management, accounting, marketing, IT, healthcare, criminal justice, education, nursing, and more. The fact is, it's better to spend a few years working on your college degree than to spend a lifetime working without it. Before you know it, you'll have the expertise and credentials you need to excel in your field. Call University of Phoenix Online today at 1-800-624-1890. That's 1-800-624-1890.
Do nasal allergies hit you where it hurts most? Your wallet?
Yeah.
Then ask your doctor about Flonase, fluticasone propionate nasal spray, 50 micrograms. Flonase has the lowest average copay of any leading prescription nasal allergy brand in the nation. And now you could save up to $60 a year through the Allergy Rewards Program. Call 1-800-FLONASE or visit Flonase.com to learn more. Only Flonase is approved to treat nasal symptoms from indoor and outdoor allergies, as well as year-round non-allergic nasal symptoms that can feel like allergies.
All prescription products are not approved to treat the same symptoms. Only your doctor can decide what treatment option is best for you. For best results, use daily. Maximum relief may take several days and results may vary. Side effects are generally mild and may include headache, nosebleed, or sore throat. See our ad in Fitness Magazine. Call 1-800-FLONASE or ask your doctor or pharmacist about the medicine that's tough on nasal allergies.
Huh?
Easy on your wallet. All it takes is FLONASE. Allergy rewards program subject to eligibility.
Having trouble sleeping? Then listen to the experts. Over 25,000 doctors, chiropractors, and sleep clinics worldwide recommend the biggest breakthrough in better sleep, the Tempur-Pedic Swedish mattress. Call now for your free mattress sample at 1-800-611-9977. The Tempur-Pedic mattress works like no conventional mattress can. Its high-tech material contours to your body, relieving the pressure points that make you toss and turn. It erases aches and pains, even for people with back troubles. In fact, 92% of owners surveyed say their Tempur-Pedic bed is far superior to their old innerspring mattress, air, or water bed. Judge for yourself. Call 1-800-611-9977 for a free sample of the Tempur-Pedic mattress material. You'll also get a free Better Sleep video and a 90-day trial offer guarantee. Want to sleep better? Listen to the experts and call Tempur-Pedic now. 1-800-611-9977. That's 1-800-611-9977.
Good morning. It's 19 past the hour. I am Mark Maron. I'm here with Mark Riley. You are listening to Morning Sedition on Air America Radio.
Good day.
Good day. It's now time for the presidential palm pilot. My buddy in the Oval Office downloaded this. Here's the president's schedule for today, 7 o'clock a.m. Wake up. Realize I'm in the Middle East. Call in sick. 8 a.m. Realize I can't call in sick. Damn. 9:30 a.m. Participate in working session of the North Atlantic Council, Istanbul. Find a Starbucks. You can't get decent coffee in this place. 1 p.m., working lunch. Have Secret Service find nearest bathroom in case I need to cut and run. All right. 3:15 p.m., meet with Tony Blair. Have my way with him. Again, pathetic whore. 7 p.m., meet with U.S. Mission. Tell them they are eligible for government explosion insurance. 8 p.m., attend cultural event at Topkapi Palace. Surprise, it's Fahrenheit 9/11. 8:50 p.m., dinner at Palace. Refuse to eat until everyone says grace. 9 p.m., notes for dinner conversation. When passing dishes, avoid the use of the word handover. And don't say, is this Kurdish? 10:50 p.m., return to hotel. Ticking sound might not be coming from alarm clock. 10:52 p.m., check out a hotel. Check into helicopter on the roof. Tell pilot to keep engines running. And maybe read me a story. There you go. There you go. Man, we got Michael Isikoff coming on in a little while, and he's going to talk about Craig Unger, who was on Friday, and they're having a little spat about, you know, Isikoff sort of, you know, misquoting or twisting some of the things that Unger had told him in an interview previous. And of course, Craig Unger was the writer of the House of Bush, House of Saud, and also a prominent figure in Fahrenheit 9/11, both as an advisor and on screen. And I saw the movie on Friday morning.
Mm-hmm.
I thought I saw the first one in New York, but my producer said, no, they had a midnight screening of it. So I guess I didn't see the first one, but there was a line around the building. People were excited. People were talking in the theater itself. People were applauding crying out in solidarity, which always gets me worked up. You know, I mean, I get almost moved to tears when audiences come together, either in movie theaters or especially in live theater. But the movie was really mind-blowing. And the only real reaction that's coming from critics on the right is that, you know, Moore is a propagandist, you know, but, you know, Christopher Hitchens, you know, Moore is unfounded in his point of view, you know, but the one thing they aren't saying is that, you know, his facts are off. I mean, he was very careful to put his facts together. The way he organized them definitely had an agenda, but it's an agenda I certainly want to hear. It's a point of view I'm interested in, and it seems like a lot of the facts, you know, are presented in a reasonable way, and they're completely mind-blowing and completely exciting, and it makes Bush look like the biggest, you know, turd of a president I've ever seen in my life. I mean, just the way he panders to the wealthy, and also the way that, you know, he dodders around. But it also it takes you on an emotional roller coaster. It really shows you, you know, the civilian tragedies in Iraq. It shows you what a military mother and the loss of her son, you know, what her experience is like. And it really just goes, and also all the sort of Bush-Bin Laden connections. It's a mind-blowing movie.
You know, I've always believed, Mark, that if people have a problem with film, and first of all, I think almost all film is propaganda. I don't care what it is, all right? I think Titanic was propaganda. I think a lot of these films, Harry Potter, doesn't matter to me. They're all propaganda for something.
You're saying that it was a pro-sappy love propaganda movie?
There you go. Like Sleepless in Seattle. Yeah. Same thing. You know, and at a point... You know, my thing has always been, if you don't like something, then do something better, all right? So if you don't like Michael Moore's movie that made $21.8 million at the box office, you make a movie that makes $21.8 million at the box office.
But I think the relief was, it's like, and we've had some calls about this, and if you want to call us, go ahead, 866-303-2270. If you saw the movie or your reaction to the movie and your reaction to that voice being heard, it's like people are excited. They're thrilled. You know, we have been living in an oppressive under an oppressive regime, you know, who has done nothing but promote fear to maintain power in this country and to maintain power of opinion in this country. And just the idea of this voice that Michael Moore is presenting on screen is coming out is elating. It's cathartic. If it's propaganda, so be it. It's still founded in truth. I mean, and the reaction is coming from the right, from Republicans, whose president, GeorgeWBush.com, is not ashamed to use Adolf Hitler in an ad, you know, comparing Adolf Hitler to John Kerry, Howard Dean, and Al Gore, and then blaming liberals for promoting Hitler first, where it was not even a promotion. It was part of a contest submission on MoveOn.org that was not on their website. It was a link that you could go see of one of the contributors. But they shamelessly used Adolf Hitler, you know, to slander, you know, the passion of, you know, Democrats, of Howard Dean, of John Kerry, of Al Gore. And these people are going to call propaganda. They're going to play the propaganda card on Michael Moore, please.
Look, political passion that doesn't agree with them scares the bejesus out of these people because they know that political passion could translate to utter defeat for them. Not just them.
They're scrambling, aren't they?
In the House, in the Senate.
Yeah.
They are talking about a wholesale, talk about a transition of power in Iraq. There could be a transition of power here, and now they know it, and now they're scared. They're watching Kerry raise all this money. They're watching the polls. They're watching all of the indicators, all of the election indicators that people normally look at to see whether an incumbent president is going to get reelected, like in 96. All of these same indicators said Bill Clinton will win if they put up our Lord and Savior, no, let me not say that. I got people who accuse me of being anti-religious.
Yeah.
If you put anybody up against Bill Clinton in 96, people knew they were going down. They put up Bob Dole. The Republicans knew when they put up Bob Dole he was going down. The fact of the matter is, these are folks now that are starting to see George W. Bush going down, and they don't know what in the world they're going to do.
Hey, Lori, in New Jersey, what's up?
Good morning.
Hi,
Lori.
I love you guys. I just wanted to give you a younger viewer's perspective. I'm 23 years old.
Mm-hmm.
Also very into this alternative media community.
Uh-huh. Oh, great.
And, my feeling on Fahrenheit 9/11, I thought Moore was very mild. Most of the things were not surprising to me. You know, just being part of this, listening to you guys and...
Well, that's certainly true. I mean, I felt somewhat similar in that, like, I knew a lot of this stuff only because we're fairly educated about this stuff that he was talking about. But I think it's an amazing thing that he did. He was fairly diplomatic and kept himself a little more subtle than usual. And I think he's really sort of appealing to people that don't know the information.
Absolutely. I think the largest step is getting people to see it.
Exactly.
Because people who would not be swayed or would not be interested, you know, are the ones, you know, on the right who... just don't
want to
know.
Yeah, no, I think you're absolutely right, and I think that it's a very exciting thing that you're excited and that, you know, hopefully you get your friends excited just to see this, you know, alternative way of looking at the president that, you know, it really isn't out there as much as we think, but the popularity of this movie shows that things are changing. Thanks for your call.
Lori, you know, Lori brings up a very, very important point because at some juncture, people are going to have to ask themselves, did we back the wrong horse on George W. Bush? There are some people that have already said, Lee Iacocca, for example, has said, look, I backed him in 2000. He's the wrong guy.
Yeah, but a majority of the people didn't back him.
Clearly. I know. But see, that's what will create a landslide.
Well, I think, you know, like you were saying, is that they might be scrambling. They might be a little, they're in trouble. They're panicking. All they can do now is they try to assault Kerry's record in the Senate, call him a flip-flopper. He's not a flip-flopper. The way that bills evolve in the Senate require a certain amount of debate, and an initial decision that one makes in your vote could change because the bill could change. And also they tried to, you know, insinuate that he was a bad American because of his, you know, anti-war activity after he came back from Vietnam, a decorated, multiply decorated war hero. And these are this administration tried to make him look like some sort of anti-American person. That didn't stick. And now the best they can muster is calling Democrats pessimistic and comparing them to Hitler. That's what the Republicans are doing. Of course Democrats and liberals are pessimistic. Look what we've had to put up with the last 3 years. Why wouldn't we be pessimistic? We're trying to find out a way to get rid of this pessimism by changing the president of the United States of America.
And what's the most optimistic thing that the Republicans can say? Well, Bush has been through the worst couple of months of his presidency, and he's only losing by a little. That's the best they got. The best.
Wow. So stay on the line, folks. I know a lot of you are calling, and I appreciate your calls. We're going to come back with some of those calls about Fahrenheit, about Bush, about whatever you want to talk about here on Air America Radio.
Recent medical studies have found that users of Zyprexa may be at a higher risk for diabetes. If you have taken Zyprexa and have developed diabetes or high blood sugar, you may have important legal rights. At Levin Papantonio, we don't charge a fee or costs unless we make a recovery for you. If you believe you've been injured by Zyprexa, call our office for a free consultation at 1-800-277-1193. That's 1-800-277-1193.
It's a wild day here at the stock market. Let's talk to some traders. How you doing?
I'm taking a shelling, but I'm still gelling.
Okay, and how about you?
I'm gelling and selling. Gelling and selling.
My trades are smelling. Mine too. But who cares?
We're gelling.
Are you gelling yet? Dr. Scholl's massage and gel insoles are made from the softest gel ever created. If you and your feet don't feel outrageously comfortable, you get your money back. Guaranteed. Are you gelling? Dr. Scholl's.
This is Air America Radio News. Good morning. I'm Wayne Gilman. The interim prime minister of Iraq has a warning for insurgents. Get ready to be crushed. Ayad Alawi says the leaders will not forget who stood with us and against us after the U.S.-led invasion. Alawi made the declaration as he called for an end to the violence in Iraq. Bush administration surprised the world with an early transfer of power in Iraq this morning. It was aimed at thwarting possible violence by insurgents who wish to destabilize conditions in a period of change. Broadcast report over the weekend says Saddam Hussein will be wearing new prison stripes and handcuffs under the new Iraqi-controlled security forces there. And movie maker Michael Moore is going to the bank this morning, scoring a significant feat with the national unveiling of Fahrenheit 9/11. Movie broke all box office records for documentaries this weekend as Americans by the thousands turned out in large numbers to see the flick. Wayne Gilman, Air America Radio News.
Imagine living truly debt-free. No credit card debt, no car payments, no mortgage. Just your daily living expenses. And you can do this with just the money you already make. I'm John Commuta, creator of the Transforming Debt into Wealth program. I did it, and so have nearly a half million others using my proven system.
I'm completely debt-free now, thanks to John Commuta.
I will be able to pay off my house in approximately 2.5 years on a 30-year mortgage.
It works no matter how much debt you have. My system doesn't consolidate your debt. It eliminates it. It's easy, risk-free, and works with any income level.
And once we got on the system, we were able to eliminate about 90% of our debt, where now we're down to just our mortgage.
Just imagine the financial freedom of being debt-free.
I never have to worry about who's calling me or who's knocking on my door.
Call now, and I'll rush you a free tape that will show you the power of my proven system. Call 1-800-300-4662. Stop renting your lifestyle and start owning your life. 1-800-300-4662. That's 1-800-300-4662.
I feel a cold coming on, and I'm in a wedding this weekend.
This cold better be gone soon. I'm going on vacation. Is there any way to make a cold go away faster?
Yeah, is there?
There is. Cold Ease Lozenges. Clinically proven to reduce the length of a cold by almost half. No other product has Cold Ease's patented homeopathic formula.
Cold's gone. I can kiss the bride.
Safe, effective Cold Ease Lozenges. The shorter the cold, the better. And try new Cold Ease Nasal Spray. So what else is news?
Despite the plan to spend millions on pay TV spots, what if TV time for political candidates were always free? Campaigns wouldn't need to accept contributions from corporate and special interests. Instead, they could spend that $200 million on, say, food for hungry children or vaccinations.
Marty Kaplan on Air America Radio.
Here we go into another week. Good morning, Air America Radio Mornings Edition. I'm Mark Maron. Mark Riley is here.
Hey!
Iraq has been handed over.
Not only that.
Yeah.
Before we go to the phones, I just want to run this past people very quickly. Apparently, coalition officials now say that they have agreed with the interim Iraqi government to transfer legal custody of one Saddam Hussein in a week.
1 week.
1 week.
The countdown to Hussein handover.
Yeah.
We'll they see. Say we don't know what they're going to do with him yet.
We'll
right?
see if that goes as smoothly as the one they did at 226 this morning.
Yeah, secretly.
Yeah.
Come on, you guys. Here, just sign here and you got a country. Jerry, Amityville, what's going on?
Hi, Jerry.
Hi, how you doing, you guys? Yeah, I love you. I love the show. With all due respect to Mr. Issacorf, who you're going to have on later, why should we take his word for things over Michael Moore's word for things or Greg Ungar's? When Issacorf was willing to allow to be published a story about Catholic William Bill Clinton, even after a source for the story, Willie's friend, Miss Julia Hyatt Steele, later admitted to Issacorf, but prior to publication, that the story was untrue.
Right.
I don't know if you remember all that.
Yeah, well, you know, we were talking about that before. We're definitely going to try and take Issacorf to task over what he said, because Ungar was on Friday and had some problems with with the way that Issacorf spun him a little bit. James in Michigan, how are you listening to us on Sirius Radio? What's going on?
Doing pretty good. I saw Fahrenheit 9/11 yesterday evening, and the first thing I noticed was that, you know, Gore obviously should have won Florida. I mean, it was clear he actually had won, and then someone from Fox, or at least that's what Michael Moore claimed, that someone from Fox reported Bush won, and then just flipped it around. All these votes got discredited. I was just, and you know, of course, I think Jeb is still governor of Florida. I'm correct.
Yes.
And who's to say that that wouldn't happen again? I mean, what checks and balances have been prevented? I mean, I hear on Air America Radio that these, like, the electronic voting booths, that the code was available online for it to be tampered with. I mean,
concerned. I'm concerned, too. You know, blackboxvoting.org, I think, is the name of the website where you can find updates on the Diebold machines and the paperless voting machines, which are really a problem because they're apparently tamperable. Also in Florida, we've gotten reports that they're taking to task some of those voting rolls that CNN, I think, created some sort of there has been action taken, and here I am, like, speaking out of school here, but I know that that they're trying to
purge the rolls again.
Well, they're trying to.
That was a 45,000 alleged felons.
Right. CNN filed a lawsuit to get the names of the people on the voting rolls to make sure that they're legitimate and that, you know, there aren't people on there that shouldn't be on there. So there is some action being taken in Florida. Coming up in a minute, we're going to be talking to Michael Issacorf about some of the problems him and Craig Ungar are having, also about the movie and about the handover and about the Osama bin Laden Saddam Hussein connection.
Which is in this week's Newsweek. Michael Issacorf. Off when we come back.
Gary Boland, COVID technician on reality television.
Oh, you mean the news?
On global warming.
I love summer.
And on business broadband.
I'm glad you asked. You know, the key to choosing broadband is the same as any business decision. It's value. At COVID, you get broadband built for business for less than the local phone company's repackaged residential plans. In fact, your business could save hundreds of dollars a year with COVID. Plus, with the security of SDSL dedicated lines and 99.9% uptime guaranteed, you can relax, knowing your business isn't going to hit a brick wall. Now, I could go on.
Gary Boland on astrology.
Well, I've always wanted to go to space.
Business broadband. COVID knows it like nobody else. To get broadband billed for business, call 1-800-555-0454. Plus, get a free router after mail-in rebate through June 30, 2004 when your business signs up at 1-800-555-0454 or gocovid.com. See website for guaranteed details and availability. Saving based on published rates, March 10, 2004.
When I started this company, our mission was to be the most useful and most ethical provider in the financial services business.
Charles Schwab, founder and chairman of the Charles Schwab Corporation.
When you're dealing with people's money, when you're dealing with their financial dreams, you've got to hold it with the greatest of care.
With industry-leading equity research, trusted investment professionals, and personalized advice, Charles Schwab offers investors a better choice when it comes to low-cost investing.
It's about service. It's about best value. It's about ethics. It's all those things. That's what we're about every day.
Join the more than 3 million investors at Charles Schwab and enjoy lower trading costs plus advice and unparalleled service. Call 1-800-7-SCHWAB or stop by your local Schwab branch today.
Some benefits, including advice and certain equity research, available for a fee only through one or more Schwab Personal Choice or other fee-based services. New trading commissions effective 6/21/04. Charles Schwab & Co., Inc., member SIPC and NYSE.
If you want to do more with your home improvement project and with your budget, you can. The Home Depot can show you how. If you want to know more and know you're getting the lowest price every day, you can. Others try to get by on just a promise, but the Home Depot comes through time after time. It's how we were built, with a solid history and pure passion for bringing you the lowest possible prices on everything from washers and bolts to washers and dryers. When you buy as much as we do, you can afford to sell for less. That's the power of buying power. Simple stuff, just like our 10% price guarantee. If you ever find a lower price somewhere else, the Home Depot will beat it by 10%. Plus, if you want to get special finance offers that let you buy now and pay later, you can. Just ask an associate for details. If you want to pull it all together and know you're making your dollars and your dreams go farther, you can. The Home Depot. You can do it. We can help.
Good morning. It's Morning's Edition. I'm Mark Maron. Mark Riley is here. You're listening to Air America Radio. It is now time for our presidential daily briefing. You ready for that? It's time to look at the highly classified top secret document that crosses George W. Bush's desk every morning. Today's PDB from the intelligence community is titled, Film Causes Widespread Damage. Mr. President, it has come to our attention that the film Fahrenheit 9/11 earned more than $21 million over the weekend. Our efforts to ban this deeply unflattering and distressingly honest film were futile and severely underestimated people's interest in you. As both a comic figure and a villain, you are, as Variety would say, boffo B.O. This may be something to consider in November if you should be job hunting. If we could minimize the damage until June 30th, the handover in Iraq was a nice touch. Operation Spider-Man 2 should blow 9/11 right out of the multiplex. This web-spinning popcorn film should divert Americans from analyzing your presidency, thinking critically, or otherwise disturbing the apathy that serves you so well. On a side note, we overestimated the ability of Operation White Chicks to divert box office from Fahrenheit 9/11. Thought that was a slam dunk. We may need to hire some new Hollywood operatives. Though we remain pessimistic about any possible campaign appearances by Spider-Man, we suggest in the interim that you never go anywhere near a camera or speak in public about anything ever again. Respectfully, Office of Homeland Security. I kind of strangely detached from that in the middle. I had a weird moment where I was floating above myself. Right now, on the phone is an investigative correspondent for Newsweek magazine. His piece in this month's issue criticizes the organization of facts in Michael Moore's Fahrenheit 9/11 and basically calls the author of House of Bush, House of Saud, Craig Unger, an advisor on the film, and our guest last Friday, a liar, kind of. Please welcome Michael Isikoff to the show. Good morning, Michael.
Good to be with you.
Nice to talk to you. So what's your beef with Craig Unger, basically?
Oh, Well, first of all, I think you said I criticized the film. I wasn't doing a movie review. I actually saw the movie and thought it was a pretty powerful movie. And I thought it's going to provoke a lot of discussion and, a lot of good discussion. I think some of the facts as presented there is a bit misleading. And in particular, the passage in which Craig Unger appears, in which, the whole suggestion there is that the flights with the Saudis, took place during a time that federal airspace was closed. That's not true. It was after the flights took place when federal airspace was opened. And he's interviewed by Moore, and there's a whole suggestion that the FBI did not interview these guys, did not adequately check them out. And if you look at the findings of the 9/11 Commission, they were quite explicit on that many of the Saudis were interviewed, that they were there were detailed interviews, in contra, quite different than is presented in the film, and that other databases were checked. Unger says in the film no other steps were taken. He's wrong on that. And that nobody who left had any interest to the FBI. None of them had any involvement in terrorism. None of them has been found to have any involvement in terrorism. And probably most importantly, and I didn't even deal with this in the piece, but the whole suggestion is the White House. In fact, not suggestion. The film explicitly says the White House approved these flights, and the clear implication in the movie is that it's because of some sort of high-juice political connection that the Saudis had with the House of Bush, with the Bush family. Well, we know who approved the flights. It was Richard Clark, the Clinton White House holdover who was serving as counterterrorism czar. He testified before the 9/11 Commission, I, Richard Clark, approved the flights contingent on the FBI taking a look at who the passengers were and making sure that they didn't need to detain any of them. So there's no mystery about that, and I think that's a bit misleading.
Now, Michael Isikoff, we had Craig Unger on the air with us on Friday, and he talked about a couple of the things that you just talked about. In particular, let's take the last one first, the idea that the bin Laden family members were never interviewed by the FBI. We have a piece that we had from Craig Unger, and I wanted to get your reaction to it. Let's go to the first piece.
I believe that there are two major mistakes in Michael Isikoff's piece. And one is that he claims that I say there were no interviews whatsoever among the Saudis. I simply do, the Saudis who were being evacuated.
Right.
I simply do not say that. And in fact, in the movie, Michael Moore sort of sums up my account by saying, so there were some brief interviews and so on.
Okay, now, Michael, he says that he never said that there were no interviews.
Yeah, actually, if you, I don't have the transcript in front of me now, and it's what he says is he's on film talking about what happened. He says, well, they were identified, they had their passports checked, and then more, anything else. And then Moore, off camera, does say, little interviews, anything else, and then Unger says nothing. Well, it is true, and we actually ran Unger's letter in this week's issue and with a response.
Mm-hmm.
And we say, yeah, it is true. Moore did say a little interviews, although, frankly, I didn't hear it, and two of my colleagues who went to see the movie after I did didn't hear it either. They say it's in the transcript. I'm not going to take issue with them. He's off camera. It's a very brief, fleeting remark. So if he's saying little interviews, it sure went by a lot of people who were listening very closely, me among them. But that said, even still, as we point out in the response, that still doesn't mesh up with what the 9/11 Commission said. In fact, the 9/11 Commission says the Saudis that 22 of the 26 people on the bin Laden flight were interviewed, and it goes on to say many were asked detailed questions. That's not consistent with Michael Moore's little interview. And beyond that, Unger's response, nothing. Was anything else go? Nothing. Well, the 9/11 Commission explicitly says no, that's not true either. There were other steps. These guys were screened. They were checked against a variety of databases, federal databases, and there were no hits. None of them were found to be wanted for questioning or to have any suspicions of involvement in terrorism.
Okay.
So, but I come back to the last point about Richard Clark, because that's really the whole point of this in the movie, that this was some sort of political inside job that I don't know if you've seen the movie. Have you seen the movie?
Yes.
And isn't the whole point of that in the movie that somehow the House of Saud gets to the House of Bush and gets some sort of special treatment from the White House?
that it wouldn't have ordinarily gotten because of these financial connections between, or supposed financial connections between the Bush family and the Saudis.
But
and as I pointed out, it wasn't the president who approved the flights. It wasn't some political person who had some financial interest with the Saudis. It was, Richard Clark.
Okay, but even given that, can't we assume that by seeing after seeing the movie and after reading Craig Unger's book, that it was pretty much a given that the Saudis got a free pass, whether or not, you know, they...
Well, look, the U.S.-Saudi relationship is a long one, and I have written extensively about it, and there is a lot to say about the kind of special treatment that the Saudis have gotten over the years.
Right.
Not particular to this administration.
Right, but didn't...
It goes back, you know, they have been an ally, they are, because of their oil power, an important ally, despite the fact that they're an anti-democratic government that mistreats a lot of its citizens and, gives no legal rights to women
and all
that sort of thing.
But wasn't the relationship, the modern Saudi-American relationship, really sort of consolidated by the first George H.W. Bush?
Look, Prince Bandar had a great deal of access to the first Bush administration. He was buddies, it is true. Bandar Bush was the nickname, and he had that. But, having looked into this, it is not unique. It wasn't unique to that administration. Jimmy Carter's center has been funded by Saudi interests for years. The Clinton administration had its own relationship with the Saudis. Right after Bill Clinton's election, the Saudi government pumped a $25 million contribution into the University of Arkansas, which had been a request from Bill Clinton. Bandar had access to the Clinton White House just as he did to previous White Houses. And U.S. policy did not change under Democratic in Democratic administrations. You won't find much of a difference. Hey, and do you know who was one of those who was helping to manage the Saudi relationship in this administration? First, it was Richard Clark, now a vociferous critic of the Bush administration, and his successor was Randy Beers, the chief foreign policy advisor to John Kerry. Now, none of them were stomping up and down saying we're getting free pass to the Saudis. All of them recognized to fight the war on terror, we needed to work with the Saudis.
Mm-hmm. Michael, I know certainly that there has been a longstanding relationship. I think some people just kind of sort of questioned, you know, if it was you or I or Mark Maron here trying to get a flight out on the...
I understand it. And I am not... Also, I'm not saying that there aren't legitimate questions to be asked about, how Saudis were treated post 9/11, about these flights. I still have some questions in my mind about how adequate the screening was. I'm not disputing it, but you have to sort of rest with, we did have, that was the whole point of the 9/11 Commission, to have an independent investigative body taking a look at these questions, not part of the Bush administration, an independent body, and they did, and they reached their findings on this issue, and it is a little bit misleading for Michael Moore to present his take on it without, also including what it was, the findings of the independent commission on the issue.
Mm-hmm. There was one other bone of contention between you and Craig Unger, and that was when the evacuation did actually begin.
Right.
I think you said the 14th. He says it was the 13th when there were still restrictions against private aviation.
There's one flight he has pointed to, and there's been some new stuff that has come out recently. Relating to a flight out of Tampa.
Right, Tampa International.
Tampa International, which took place late on September 13th. Two points to make about that. First of all, it wasn't a flight out of the country. It was a domestic flight.
Lexington, Kentucky.
Yeah.
So no Saudis escaped the United States on that flight. And secondly, if you look at the timing of the flight, it was late on September 13th, and it was on during the day on September 13th that federal airspace began to reopen, and Tampa International had reopened.
But by the
time of the flight, on the evening of the flight, it was a perfectly legitimate domestic flight that some Saudis chartered transferred from one city to another.
But why were there so many people, that, including the airport, that denied that flight took place until
very
recently?
Well, I don't know that, and there may have been, there may be something about the flight that's, you know, that's that somebody doesn't want, didn't want to admit, or maybe the records got screwed up. I don't know. But all I'm saying is it wasn't a flight out of the United States. It was a flight from one U.S. city to another.
But, okay, real quickly, I know that you have coming up in the July 5th issue a piece about Saddam Hussein and whether or not he was working with al-Qaeda. Real quickly, tell us about
that. Yes, actually, it's a very important piece, I think, or, you know, it certainly should be, and it involves an al-Qaeda commander, Ibn Sheikh al-Libi, who was captured by the in Pakistan in November of 2001 and provided crucial intelligence that was the basis for one of the more sensational claims made by the Bush administration in the run-up to war, and that is that Iraq had provided training in poisons and gases to al-Qaeda in the late 1990s, as late as December 2000. In fact, if you go back to Secretary of State Powell's address to the Security Council, he specifically refers, not by name to al-Libi, but to a senior terrorist operative who has now told his story, and then he relates in dramatic fashion that this whole account of poisons and gases training for Iraqi, as late as, for al-Qaeda, as late as December 2000. Well, it turns out that U.S. interrogators have gone back to al-Libi, questioned him closely with new evidence, and al-Libi has changed his story. He has essentially retracted his claims, and this has never been publicly acknowledged, but this was the basis for a, you know, one of the more sensational claims and a whole passage in Secretary of State Powell's speech, and it's now, and that's why one of the reasons when the 9/11 Commission came out with its findings that there wasn't a collaborative relationship, that the administration didn't revive this charge.
We got to go, Michael, so that's another hole in the credibility of the Bush arguments for war. We'll be back in a minute on Air America Radio.
Mom, can you take me to Supercuts?
Excuse me? Since when do you care what you look like?
Seriously, Mom, I need a haircut.
Is it a girl? Oh, my Lord, you're already into girls. My little boy's growing up. Oh, soon you'll be in college.
Mom, I'm 7.
And then you'll marry this girl, who we haven't even met yet, and be a big corporate executive. Oh, you look so good in a suit.
Are you going to take me to Supercuts, or should I call a cab?
And you'll be bringing the grandkids on the
weekend. Let's face it, your kids are growing up whether you like it or not. That's why Supercuts promises to give them a look you'll both love. Usually quicker than it takes to get them to brush their teeth.
Dad, can you take me to Supercuts?
Supercuts? Jeez, where's the time gone? I mean, you were just a little baby, and now you're in school, growing hair.
Supercuts. We know how it is.
With over 1,700 locations, it's never been more convenient to let Supercuts take care of you and your hair. Call 1-800-SUPERCUTS or log on to supercuts.com for a location nearest you. And while you're there, check out the latest episode of The Mop Squad.
Hello from Athens, Greece, folks. Now, if you're a big sports fan like me, this is the place to be. They've got them all. Take fencing. My sword of choice is always the foil over the saber in F.A. You've got to see it. That's why Econo Lodge and Roadway Inn Hotels have created the Wake Up a Winner sweepstakes. You could win a trip to the big events in Athens. To enter, visit choicehotels.com, or every time you stay at Econo Lodge and Roadway Inn Hotels this summer, you'll get a game piece with a chance to win hundreds of prizes and discounts off your next stay. Wake Up a Winner. To book, call 800-4-CHOICE or go to choicehotels.com. Well, I'm off to rhythmic gymnastics, where it always comes down to who nails the tightest ribbon snake. Choice Hotel. We'll see you there.
No purchase necessary. Open to legal U.S. residents 18 and older. Void where prohibited. Promotion runs June 7th through August 29th, 2004. For official rules and how to enter without purchase, visit choicehotels.com.
Good afternoon, sir. Is this your first visit to the Museum of Television and Radio?
Unfortunately not. I breezed through here last Thursday, and frankly, I was baffled.
How so?
Well, it's like no museum I've ever been to. None of the great masters are represented.
Well, I can't agree with you there, sir. Hitchcock, Gleason, Cosby, Lucy, Cronkite.
But the whole atmosphere, complete lack of stuffiness. Just ordinary people sitting at private monitors watching television and listening to radio programs.
Yeah, we have over 100,000 programs going back to the early days of broadcasting right up to the present.
But they were enjoying themselves, some laughing out loud. crowd, some weeping out loud.
Having a good time.
Precisely. It's a museum. Where are your velvet ropes, your stifled yawns?
It's not that kind of museum.
Well, I should say not.
I'm sorry you didn't have fun.
I did, but I don't go to a museum to have fun.
Where do you go?
Well, from now on, I'm coming here, but that's not the point. You really ought to work on your stuffiness, you know.
You think so?
Yes, you should have thrown me out 5 minutes ago.
The Museum of Television and Radio, with locations in New York and Los Angeles. For more information in New York, call 212-621-6600. Or visit us on the web at www.mtr.org.
Hey, good morning. It's Mark Maron here. We're coming in for landing on Morning Sedition. I'm with Mark Riley. This is Air America Radio. Feel free to blog at morningsedition.com. Email us at sedition@airamericaradio.com. Thank you for all of your calls. Go see the Fahrenheit 9/11. It's a provocative movie. Bring your friends. And it's been a pretty compelling show. As you know, a handover has happened 2 days early in Iraq. Riley and I are sitting here chatting. I live in Queens. The soccer thing is out of control. The Greek community is ecstatic. There's applauding all day long from the cafes in Queens. What's your team doing?
Well, I don't really have a team per se, although I kind of, you know, because I'm married to a British woman, kind of supporting the English, but they got knocked out with the four other of the soccer powers. So now it's the Greeks, the Portuguese, the Czech Republic, and the Dutch.
That's so weird. Outside of the Dutch, all those communities sort of live in Queens.
There's some Dutchmen there, too.
Are they?
Yeah.
It's amazing because you hear the applause at weird hours of the day. All the Greeks are in the cafes just like, yeah, going crazy. Oh, there's a liberal agenda from the Streisand compound. Get your pencils. Here come your marching orders. One, wait till it gets out of the machine. Offer group counseling to Iraq for early handover syndrome. Two, after Gay Pride weekend in New York City, solicit federal funds to help those suffering from disco hips. That happens when you're older. Three, convince Kerry to start working F-word into speeches for extra press coverage. Four, convince Wayans Brothers to retitle their movie from White Chicks to Young Caucasian Females and make it into a sensitive coming-of-age lesbian drama. That's going to take some editing. Five, today's phrase, just drop it into conversation. From what I hear from Laura, George Bush always finishes early. I'd like to say good luck to Sue Ellicott and her new job as a correspondent for the network, and thank you for listening. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Riley?
I'm wearing my Arsenal shirt in honor of Sue Ellicott.
There you go.
So we look forward to her report. Coming up on tomorrow's Morning Sedition, the co-author of Hollywood Interrupted tells that town's tawdry tragic tales with celebrity-hating bitterness. That's tomorrow morning's Morning Sedition here on Air America Radio.